All right. Good evening, everybody. This is the April 2026 meeting of the WPFW Local Station Board. Kamau Harris here, chair of the board, and we will have the illustrious Ellen Carter give us our roll call. Ellen, you are up.
Irene, have you heard anything from her?
Nope.
Okay, she's missed two so far. Verna? Verna? No. Michael Byfield?
He said he's calling in.
Okay. Michelle,
Present.
Bill Curtis, Bill Curtis, Violetta, Violetta, Wanda. I saw her, I think.
I'm here.
Thank you.
You're
Sue?
welcome.
Sue?
Present.
Robert?
Present.
Kamal is here.
Yes.
Michael Hirsch?
I'm here.
Julie Hewitt?
I am here.
Juara,
Present.
Arthur Holland,
Good evening. I am here. Thank you.
David
I hear.
Ambrose, Ambrose, Mariah.
She's gonna be a little late. She had texted earlier. She'll be a little late.
Okay. Ron.
He's got an excused absence. He's got some business to take care of.
Okay. Junette. Junette. Minerva. Minerva. Latrice. I thought I saw her. Latrice.
I'm here.
Okay, I'll go back over so far. Verna, has she come in?
No.
Okay, have you heard anything from Verna?
I have not. I thought she would be here, so.
Please let me know if she did.
Michael Byfield, present.
Okay, thank you. I have you, Michael. Bill Curtis,
Okay.
has he arrived?
Not yet.
Okay. Violetta. Violetta. No. She's not there.
Nope.
Okay. Please let me know if she comes. Ambrose. Ambrose.
Yet.
Ron. You said Ron wasn't able to do it.
He's absent today. Yeah.
Junette. Junette. Oh, let me just know if she comes. Minerva. Minerva. Thomas Chase. I saw him. He's here.
Here.
Okay. And I'm here. All right. If you could just let me know when the others come in.
Yes, I will. All
Yeah.
right. Thank you so much, Ellen, for the roll call. Right off the break, I just want to acknowledge my error. I was on wash, rinse, repeat mode. And so the agenda has interim general manager. It should just read general manager's report. So you can scratch interim off of there. And then, a couple of things under old business. I promised member Byfield that we would address this at the close of the last meeting. And I, just had a brain lapse on the unfinished business. We're supposed to have, a discussion on the, Bill of Rights and grievance policy. All right. So we need to make sure that is, under unfinished business, Bill of Rights and grievance policy. And then under, new business, member Pinckney, who I hope she shows, this is her ask, is, for, in-person meeting. She wants to have a discussion about doing an in-person meeting as opposed to being on Zoom. Well, really it's my error for not putting it on there, but, those are the quick updates there. The minutes were sent out. I'm sorry. The agenda as updated. Any discussion on the matter of the agenda? Any changes to the agenda?
Just want to point out, Mr. Chair, that Violetta, member Diamond, has just appeared. So.
Ah, got it. All right. Welcome.
Good evening.
Evening. All right. Hearing none, we got our agenda set. You all have been issued the minutes, for the March meeting by the secretary. Hopefully you've had a chance to review them. Are there any changes to the minutes as distributed? All right. Hearing none, those minutes are accepted as distributed. And, if there's anything you need to discuss coming back, we can always, revisit them at that time. All right. Want to welcome, officially our, brand new, fresh in the hot seat, our general manager, now taking over here for, our station. Is, Shayna, and I'm going to butcher your last name. So go ahead and give it to me real quick so I can get it in my head.
Lona Aya.
Lona Aya.
Yeah.
Lona Aya. Shayna Lona Aya, please welcome her as, she and her staff now will go through their reports as distributed. First up will be the program director's report. I believe. Katia Stitt is here, correct? No? Katia, are you present? I can't tell. I don't see her name. All right. How would you like to handle that? Did you want to go through her report? There is a written version of it. And
yeah.
If you wanted to discuss it, feel free.
Yeah, let me just do something. I think she was in transit, so yeah, hopefully she hops on later for any questions, but just to go through her report, we submitted our FCC report for the first quarter. It just includes a sampling of public affairs programming. We have to do it each quarter, and it's placed in WPFW's public file. The next thing is just a couple of updates. Papa, am I going to pronounce this correctly? Wabe, a host of Free Your Mind. We thank him for his service and tenure. He's well known for his iconic program from early WPFW days, Shockwaves. And we have a few young musicologists who are interested in taking a slot. We also thank Tony Browder, host of the Browder Files, for his tenure and congratulate him on his new book tour. His show will be replayed until we can find a replacement. Then just so, because I know there's a couple of programmers on here, we are asking our 80 plus volunteer programmers to fill out their self-evaluations. And then after these reflections, me and Katia will be meeting and asking programmers to meet with us one-on-one, just so that we can, just talk about strengths, ways to improve, and how staff can better support them. I'm really excited for that, to really get to meet and connect with a lot of the programmers. I also think, it's not on here, but also the programmers, we've asked to come into the station for a Programmers Day and a picture day, because a lot of our programmers, I don't know what they look like. So I'm really excited to meet with them. Next thing is, we, last Wednesday, celebrated and commemorated, the artistry and activism of Billie Holiday and Paul Robeson. Thanks everyone who has called and emailed in about my PSA that I mispronounced Robeson's name. So, I will be re-recording it. Let's see, next thing about that, on Liberation on Our Minds, centered the voices of the Cuban people yesterday, welcoming Gabriela Rodriguez, the second secretary of the Cuban embassy, to talk about the blockade. Upcoming on the 30th, International Jazz Day, we are going to be showing the International Jazz Day concert live from Chicago. It'll be celebrating 15 years. On the 26th, we're going to be celebrating 100 years of Miles Davis. This will also be a fundraiser, just highlighting his, all of his reinvention, serving as a global tribute to his impact on music and fashion and art. Then, because I'm around now, we are going to be reviving Asian Pacific Islander Day in May. Just do a day of programming, just celebrating Asian and Pacifica voices. And that date is to be determined. I think that's it for programming.
All right. Thank you so much. You all have heard the, programming report. Are there any questions? We'll take a stack now. Any questions regarding the programming report?
I can't get my hand to go up.
go ahead, Member Kiasi, and then I have Member Byfield after you. Go ahead.
Are the evaluations that the programmers have, are those confidential, or can the LSB board members have access to them?
Those will be confidential, because they're going to be things that programmers are disclosing about their performances and how they're, like personal feelings and stuff like that. And we haven't disclosed to them whether or not like we would share it. So yeah, it's just going to be staff. But of course I would love, one of the things I'd like to do is just provide like just a simple, maybe one page report on some of the trends that we found in the evaluations, and hopefully be able to see that every single programmer did it and met with us. A lot of folks. All right. My dogs are barking.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that. Member Byfield, you have the floor.
Yes. Okay. Good evening, and welcome, Shana. For the last year and maybe 8 months, I have been talking about the programming committee. So since the end of the program director's report, I just want to again state that we have several unfilled programs, and our committee is in flux right now. We haven't met in a few, maybe the last 2 or 3 months. But I'm, again, bringing it to the attention of everyone on the board that it's imperative that we participate in getting the type of programs that the community wants, and that it shouldn't be a unilateral decision made by just one program director. So I just want to put it in the record again.
Okay. So no question. Just you wanted to highlight the fact that there is gaps in that you feel one person should not make the determination on the grid. Is that your statement in a nutshell?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Not a problem. Thank you for that. I will give you a moment if you want, Shana to respond at all. If not, we'll move forward.
Yeah. Thank you for the question and thank you for the welcome. I am interested in CATIA's job description is to decide the grid, and to decide, and to organize programmers and to onboard folks onto the radio. And I am interested in then what the bylaws say about what community input looks like to, and also how decision making is made, on whether, you know, what feedback or evaluation looks like from the community. So yeah, I'm just really curious and wondering what sort of like, what does it look like, knowing that it's one person's job to do that role? And then also, how are we gathering that feedback so that we can make informed decision making? Yeah. And I can later in my report, I can expand on a bit of the work that, I'll be doing with CATIA and DJ Abby on filling the slots in the programming.
All right. Thank you.
If I may interject just to add to my point.
Really quickly, go ahead.
Okay. On International Jazz Day last year, the program director went to Morocco and broadcast a jazz festival there. Morocco has been known to be a serious violator of human rights, especially for sub-Saharan Africans. And they also were carrying tools from the genocidal Zionist entity that they used against a lot of migrants that were trying to cross. And our program director wasn't really knowledgeable of those things. Asked no one, they just went there. And the example that I use for that is if a programming committee is involved where, you know, you don't know, everybody doesn't know everything, you can, in fact, garner that type of information before unilaterally making decisions like that.
Oh. All right. All right. So you added a little caveat. Appreciate that. I think the general manager has a strategy or is looking to get a little bit more informed and up to speed, and then she'll come back to us with, I guess, a plan of action on how to incorporate or better incorporate the community is what it sounds like. All right. Let me go to Member Lane, Member Hirsch in that order, and please 2 minutes maximum. If we could get timekeeper Member Gordon on that, and then right. We're almost at time certain on this. Actually, we have till 7. So, Member Lane, you're up.
Michael was on time. You know, I would have violated him if he had gone over there.
No doubt.
Michael was good. He stayed within the boundaries.
Go ahead, Member Lane.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I really find that Michael's comments in this forum are highly inappropriate, and I'm going to move that they be stricken from the minutes. This is not an evaluation of the program director, and even though he may feel that way and he has the right to feel that way, this is not the forum for that. He could have had that conversation privately with the new general manager. And because of the fact that the program director is not here to even defend herself, I think it's highly inappropriate. And I'm moving that it be stricken from the minutes.
I hear your motion. The minutes, will reflect, our decision making, won't reflect the back and forth discussion. So, we'll make sure in the minutes that we only reflect the important parts of the meeting. We don't put dialogue in the minutes. All right. So I think you're okay there, but your comment is heard and received. Member Hirsch, go ahead.
Yeah. I want to, first of all, obviously, Member Lane is here. Member Sanders is also here. So I want to bring that up to date. And I want to welcome you, Shayna. Welcome to what can be a very bumpy ride, but is going to be very rewarding. And, we all look very much forward to working with you. And, I do like your answer. We do have to go with what the bylaws are, even as we're trying to make the bylaws better or keep them good, as it were. That's a whole other can of worms, but we have to go by what we do. And, we have to have order and proceed forward according to rules. We can't just go by, you know, whim and notion and all that sort of thing. So anyway, welcome. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And, we really appreciate you being here. And like I said, we look forward to, many weeks and months of, very successful leadership on WPFW.
All right. Thank you much. Member Byfield, if you could put your hand down, I think that's a legacy hand. Greatly appreciated. Anything else regarding the programming discussion? All right. Hearing none, we'll move forward. We have a membership coordinator report. Membership coordinator report usually comes, where it is.
Sorry, it's Sataria, but I'll handle the reports except for the news department.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, is that written, your report? The membership coordinator report? Is it it's written, right?
Yep, I can provide some.
That's okay. That's my error. We don't, if it's written, the expectation is, for this body to review that. If you have any changes to it, I'll hear those. If not, then we'll take a stat. So, do you have any updates or changes to what the written report says?
Nope. That's it.
All right. Any questions regarding the membership coordinator report? Should be in the packet that was issued to you by the secretary.
I think Mike put his hand back up, Mr. Chair.
Oh, there he is.
Member Hirsch.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Shayna, is there anything that you want to highlight for us real quick about the membership report?
Yes, that's a good question. Please buy tickets and tell folks about the Celebrating 30 Years of Democracy Now screening. I would love to see everybody in person. And also, we're hosting a reception at Bus Boys and Poets with Amy. So would love, please buy tickets. We're hoping to, you know, sell out and show that WPFW shows up. Yeah.
All right. Anything else on the membership coordinator's report? All right. Thank you, Shayna. Hearing none, we will move forward to the news director's report. That is our member, Sue Goodwin. Sue is here, right?
Yes, I am.
What do you have for us, Sue? Is your report written?
There are some notes in what Shana sent out, but basically, there was news and we covered it. I wanted to convey that covering a war is hard, and honestly, covering this president is hard because you want to get past the top layer, and past some of the, just insane rhetoric. And so that's what we try to do. We're trying to bring into our newscasts, which give us usually a minute or two to bring some depth to this. How is this being felt regionally? How is it affecting the economy? You know, get beyond who got bombed today and how many people died. So we work hard on it every day. And unfortunately, we'll have to keep doing it, right? Also, I think I added to that, I mentioned the newsletter, which also comes out of the news department. And this is a weekly email where anyone who opens the email, they can connect to a public affairs show that ran the week prior. So we had a very productive meeting with Shana and Sataria to talk about how to basically improve it, make it more effective. Like anything, it can always be done better. So we're looking forward to that. And I am actively coordinating with Pacifica National News that is beginning to create ways for the Pacifica stations to collaborate on news. And that's unfolding over time. But right now, there is a service called AudioPort where we actually put our newscast, our last newscast of the day, on AudioPort. And then it is carried by other stations. So we're beginning to share content. I'm sure we will be working a lot on the election, midterm elections coming up. And that's it.
All right. Thank you so much. You've heard Member Goodwin and her news director report. Any questions? Take a stack. Shana.
I just want to highlight that she was being a bit humble in her report. Our news is being played across the country, that they're picking up Noah and Sue's voices and being played in New York and other affiliates. Like, folks are listening to what WPFW has to say about what's going on in the world. So I just wanted to highlight that.
Thank you.
And thanks to the AudioPort.
All right. Thank you so much. Member Lane, you have the floor.
Yes, Sue, I don't know whether I did share some sources, that are on YouTube. They are, people who, have, news programs, but a lot of them get their war information from a site called Drop Site News.
Yes, I check it every day. Oh. I look at about 30 news sites every day, but yeah, DropSite and Middle East Monitor. Yep. And of course Al Jazeera. I always checking those sites. I agree. DropSite is, a great way to get other angles that you may not see on CNN, et cetera. So thank you.
Okay.
Anything else regarding the news director's report? All right. Hearing none, we have a
Kamau.
Yes. Oh, okay. I didn't see a hand.
I put my hand up.
Yeah, it's not. Go ahead, Member Gordon. You have the floor.
Sure. Thank you. It'll be real quick. It's not directly related to the news director's report, but I looked on the website about the Steal This Story screening, and I don't see a time for when the movie starts. There's a time for the after the fact, reception luncheon at 2:30, but I'm not seeing what time the movie starts. So that should probably be information on there too for folks who want to purchase tickets. So.
Oh yeah. Thank you. I'll update it.
All right. Perfect. Thank you for that. Anything else, regarding the news? All right. I think we have a few members who've come in. Ellen, you have member Pinckney, right?
I did get her.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right. We'll move forward.
We have Verna's here. Verna's here.
Oh,
thank you, Verna.
Awesome.
Sorry I'm late.
Member Avery Brown in the building. Thank you. Chief Engineer report. And I believe, Shani, you'll give us this one as well. It is written. It's in your packet. Starts on page 5. Chief Engineer is Mo Thomas. Any questions? Shane, any highlights?
No major highlights. Everything is pretty the same. The only big highlight that we've been talking about is that like our CD players have been upgraded. And that's been exciting for folks who use the CDs. But yeah, that's about it. And just, you know, encouraging folks to, snack too heavily in the studio and clean up after themselves. That's another, it's been a conversation, but yeah, that's about it. Thank you.
Let's take a stack. Any questions regarding engineering? All right. Hearing none, we'll move on to our general manager's report. And once again, Shana, you will give us your general manager. Member Byfield, you had a question? Go ahead.
It has to do with engineering.
Yeah, go ahead.
I asked that question the last 3 meetings, but if you have a new person that's managing engineering right now?
The report is prepared by Mo Thomas. He's been the chief engineer for quite some time.
Okay, so my question the last 4 meetings have been about the transmission to certain areas and whether or not that's been monitored. For those who may not know, we have typically a reach to several cities, several areas, like the far reaches of Baltimore, and outside of that, even as far as Delaware. And what I've been doing is I have friends who live in areas that they used to be able to pick up the station on terrestrial signal quite clearly, and that is no longer available clearly. It's very spotty. And my contention is that we need to evaluate that, because if there's a new environment that may be changing the landscape due to WiMAX affected broadband, then we may want to revisit the way we protect our footprint.
Member Byfield, if I could, what would be a satisfactory answer from the chief engineer for that question? I know you've posed it several times. Do you need something, a written report? Is there some sort of, analysis that could be done, evaluation? Is there a meter measurement or something? Like what's the answer there so that we don't send him off on a wild goose chase?
The answer would be to do a test the same way people on their computers do a bandwidth test. And I think he's spoken about that once or twice. I know there's a method that a communication engineer use, and to come back with a report whether or not that is, we still have the same type of footprint that we used to have, 10 years ago, whatever that was.
So this may have been something that was done in the past that gave us feedback, and you feel like he should be able to repeat that particular test?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I got it down. We'll pass it on, to the general manager and see if she can help us, get an answer for you. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anything else, regarding engineering before we move to the general manager's report? All right. Hearing none, we will hear, again, from our general manager, newly minted. Shana, you have the floor.
Yay. Well, thanks everyone. I just want to express a lot of gratitude, for Miyuki, and everyone, like the deep love and passion she's poured into the station these last 2 years. And I've learned in the last 3 weeks a lot from her, and also just being welcomed and supported by everyone that I've had conversations with, had lunch with, got been on Zoom calls with. It's just been really lovely, and I can really, really feel everybody's deep, deep care for the station, that it means so much. So my hope is that I continue and strive to honor that love, and do my best. Yeah, just wanted to open up with that. I'm also, you know, I love to talk. I love to yap. So, if folks want to schedule, you know, some time to hang out with me or to get lunch, I would love that. I just want to learn as much as I can as possible. And you all should have my email, gm@wpfw.org. So yeah, feel free to hit me up. I just want to send a reminder or, express a reminder for to register, and put in your volunteer hours so that you can participate in the Pacifica election. I also just want to shout out that, our station is doing the best in terms of registering that we currently have, that we are every day, folks are registering, and we're beating all the other stations. So just wanting to shout out. Thank you everyone who's continuing to register. Sorry. My dog is trying to eat my dinner. The next thing is just talking about the brand refresh. So last Wednesday was really successful, and then that we raised $15,000 during the Billie Holiday Paul Robeson fundraiser. And Katia and I were able to lock in an anonymous donor who matched it. So with that, we raised $30,000 in one day. I'm really excited because I would like to use this to update our website and do some rebranding. I know folks have seen our website. It is not the most user-friendly. It actually, the platform that we use has been out of business for like the last decade. So in terms of security, in terms of user interface, making it accessible so that every single person who logs onto our station can read and take in the information, that's something that's really important to me. And especially can level up the archiving, the interviews, the music that's on the station. Yeah, so that's what I'm going to be working with. A local tech firm to be updating our website. Yeah, I just want to shout out every programmer who made the magic happen last week, and all their names. I won't list them now, but a lot of folks did a really great job pitching and making sure we got the resources that we need. Just quickly, 129 donors contributed to that $15,000. And 29 of them were brand new. So folks who had never donated before, who were moved because of the programming that y'all put together. So you should be really proud. Yeah. And then just briefly, it's not in my report, but something that I'll be working on with DJ Abby. I know there's been a lot of conversation around the brigade and like, what is the brigade? Who are in the brigade? I want to invest real time and energy to formalizing an actual cohort program, where we do a year long program and recruiting folks in the community to take part in the brigade and being paired with our current programmers to learn the ropes. So my ideal is 10 folks, and just learning radio, sitting down, learning how to what a rundown is, getting going into the station, doing things like that, and also having workshops hosted by programmers, and also doing more in-person events or virtual hangouts, I think can be really, important. And we'll do a lot of outreach to many of the youth programs that are, here in DC. Oh, I see a question about what do we need to know about volunteer requirements. The volunteer requirements is just that you, need to volunteer in order to qualify for the elections. I think it's, let me get back to you on how many hours, but it's, you need to have donated at least $25. And then, I know there's a number of hours you have to have logged. Oh, at least 30 hours of volunteer service. So whatever that looks like, you know, whether that's serving on the LSB, doing outreach, being on the phones, all of that counts as, volunteer service. So thank you for that question, Jawara. And then is it okay since I'm here to talk about, the volunteer coordinator program too, or volunteer stuff?
You have the floor, please. Yeah. Go ahead.
Just to highlight that our May drive is coming up soon, from the 3rd to the 16th, and would really love to hang out with some of you all in person at the studio, take answering phones from our listeners, and taking their pledges. It really helps to save the station money. Don't worry if you've never done it before. You'll have a training, you'll be with a crew of folks who care a lot about the station, and you'll get to hang out with me. So, yeah. So come in and take some phone calls. Sorry, my dog. I also just want to highlight that Vinny and I have been working really hard on like really looking at the volunteer program and how we can, better, onboard folks and train folks, to feel really like they belong with the station. So has included updating the volunteer sign up form. So if you're interested you have to download a PDF. Now you can just use a link and you can send that to your friends and family, filling out that form. I'll just drop that in the chat as well. We'll also be hosting every, first Thursday of the month, volunteer orientations. So if you're new to volunteering or know someone who wants to volunteer, and get involved, we'll send this out in a newsletter, but you'll be able to attend a 2-hour, virtual orientation where we'll go over the history and the values of the station and also ways that you can get plugged in. Whether that's, you know, you're interested in becoming a programmer, you're interested in becoming an engineer or taking calls or doing outreach or fundraising, you'll learn about that at the orientation. I think that's all that I have. I just want to send a lot of gratitude and, to everyone here, and thank you so much for the work that you do. Yeah.
Right. Thank you so much. You have heard the report from our general manager. We will take a stack. I see Member Byfield. You are up. You have the floor.
Again, greetings and happy to have you on board. Shana, I guess. You mentioned coming to the studio. I understand there's some restrictions on that for the new location. I call it the new location. not a new location to you. But it's a new location to people that have been here for some time. I just wanted to say maybe, you know, if you want to schedule something somewhere else, I think it's a great idea. That's all.
All right. Thank you. Member Kiasi, you have the floor.
Yeah, want to clarify what you, oh, first of all, welcome to the station. I want to clarify what you said about the criteria for voting. You said that a person has to volunteer 30 hours in order to vote in the Pacific elections. Is that, did I hear that correctly?
That's my understanding, that you've had to log at least 30 hours or you donated $25.
Okay. It's an or, it's not an and.
Yes. Yeah. It's an or.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
And that can be cumulative, right? Like you don't have to, or like you did 3 hours 1 month, 2 hours another, and then, or you donated like $5 a month and it ended up being over 25, it ended up being $25. Thanks for that question.
Correct. All right. Anybody else have a question for our general manager? I'll take some liberties here. I did not put this on the agenda, but did you want to discuss what, we kind of briefly discussed via email, or do you want to hold that for a later time?
Sure. We can talk just briefly about it. So the email that, Chair is referring to is I really want to know how we can better support the LSB to be more of an like active board. I want to see y'all, you know, I was just talking to Joni. She wants to host dance parties again. And I want to know if that's something that you're interested in helping to organize, coming on to the phones. Yeah, and just like maybe formalizing some practices within the fundraising and outreach committees so that folks know exactly like I have an action item that I need to follow up on, taking some more active notes. I know folks like the AI, but I think it's also a good practice for folks, everybody to be like actively involved in creating and crafting the next steps of what we're doing as a collective. And that's just briefly, just doing some, administrative tasks. I also have heard a lot, you know, about the storied past of this LSB, and I'm really grateful that, it seems to be so much more cohesive but I'm also wondering of like practices around like setting community agreements on how do we talk with each other? How do we hold each other with care, while also speaking our truth? So some of those things I think could be really great. There's some of the practices that I try to do when I'm in community and, doing other community groups, but also just to share, like to be human with each other. Can just be fun. I've started to have check-ins, every meeting. I ask folks like, what did they learn from the station today? Was there a song that they were moved by? Things like that, I think, could just, because we're here, right, to make the station last for another 50 years. So, that's all. That's all. Just a little visioning together of, like, what is the LSB look like? And I'm also very competitive, and I want us to be everybody at the other stations look at ours and be like, whoa. WPFW has it going on. All right. That's it. Thank you, Kamau.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So just to kind of also throw a little bit more flesh on there. So what the email is very extensive. Shane is very detailed. If you've worked with her before, You know, she's got, you know, a lot of, information in what she shares. So what I was, working on, myself, the vice chair is just kind of, you know, trying to condense it down a little bit to digest for you all, maybe one or two pager, and then, kind of come back and dive a little deeper into it. So looking forward to doing that next month, at this meeting. In the interim, we'll work on, the presentation. Like I said, a little summary at first, as opposed to the larger, document. All right. Member Tingling Clements, you have the floor.
Thank you, Kamau. I just wanted to thank you for coming to the Paul Robeson program that we did last week at Bus Boys and Poets honoring Paul Robeson. I thought it was a significant program, and you know, much like during his life, the efforts to have him forgotten continue, but I thought it was really important that we'd done that, and it was really helpful and promising to see you there. So I just wanted to thank you for that, Shana.
All right. Thank you for that. Any other questions for our general manager? All right. Hearing none. Thank you so much, Shana, for that. You are welcome to stay and take it all in. So I hope you will do that. Next up is our finance committee report. Tom Chase. Tom is here. Yep. Tom, go ahead. You have the floor, sir.
Great. Thanks, Kamau.
Welcome.
Pretty straightforward report. I won't put it up unless, Kamau, you feel like it's helpful. But basically, we came in just a little bit ahead of budget for the month in terms of net revenue. So for the halfway point through the year, the report shows us about $50,000 ahead of budget in terms of net revenue. So again, we're budgeting to have $90,000 net revenue for the year. And right now we're about 140, but probably half of that increase is, we still are working out with the national office, and with the IGM expenses. So probably about 25,000 of that 50 over the net, over budget, is not accounted for expenses yet. So we're working through that. That should be cleared up at the end of the, end of April. Other than that, again, all the we had a one, about a $4,000 investment on, equipment, for the, essentially for the digital transmission, upgrading some of that hardware so we won't drop our digital signal so often. And that equipment, it was ordered and paid for last month, but, should be installed this week, or next week at the latest. So again, we're continuing to invest in the infrastructure. As Shana mentioned, she's taken a look as well at spending in the rest of this year, as well as we've just begun talking about putting a budget together for next year, as well as even a more of a strategic kind of a budget or budget's probably not the right word, but a multi-year sort of projection of where we'd like to be as an organization. So she and I and, you know, the rest of the team will be working on putting that together over the next, you know, month to month and a half as we get ready for the budget season. Yeah. Oh, and then the last thing just to mention is, we finally kicked off our formal underwriting program. If you may have heard, we've had two spots airing currently, one for the Birchmere and the Patti LaBelle concert that'll be at the DAR on April 18th. and a spot for Strathmore for an event they have on the 19th of April. And together, those two have brought in about $5,000. That we've invoiced that. So you don't see that cash in March. Hopefully you'll see that cash in April. But we've invoiced both of those. And we have our rate card. So we're, you know, we're ready to sell. Those two, venues, supporters, you know, are seasoned ad buyers, underwriting buyers, and they had no problem with our rate card, our terms. They turned it around and ordered 50 spots roughly each. So I feel very, very positive that as we continue to gear up our logistics to make sure, you know, we're getting the spots and the slots, you know, we commit to, and ideally we can report on that at the end. So, you know, we're not fully rolling out the marketing of this as we continue to refine the workflow. But I, you know, I think within a month, you know, we're certainly not turning anyone away. And I'd say within a month, we should have a probably strong marketing push on this as well. That's my report, Chair.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. You've heard the report from Tom Chase regarding the finances for WPFW. We'll take a stack beginning with Member Lane. You have the floor.
Yes. Thank you, Tom. And this might be a question for the GM. Do we plan on hiring salespeople to specifically sell through the spots that we have available?
Tom, can you answer that, or are you going to defer to Shane?
Well, I mean, I'll answer it and say we haven't had any conversations about that. Okay. I know there are other personnel positions that are in need of filling. And I don't know how high this would be. One thing I just would say on this point, and this is new to me, so I'm learning as I went, but, you know, we were asked about the rate card. Is our rate net or gross? And so I learned the difference between net and gross. And we're net, and we don't kind of like want to mess with the fees, right, that folks get. So I don't know. I guess we'd have to, my personal view is we want to think through that seriously. How much supply do we have? Do we have a problem selling it ourselves? And then, you know, what does a fee structure look like, and what does that for our budget?
Because that could be a major source of income. That's why I'm bringing that up.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
But we haven't given that any thought that I've been involved with. Yeah.
All right. Member Chiasi, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just had a question. The line item for programming, what does that consist of?
On the, you know, yeah.
So on the first tab, that's just the line item for many subline items. But in the tab that has the details, you can see the subline items. It includes the licensing fees for ASCAP and BMI. It includes our tower rent, our tower electricity, any equipment, service repairs, things like that to the equipment. Yeah, those are the primary programming expenses. Yeah, thank you, Kamau.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions for Tom and the Finance Committee? Shayna, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just wanted to give, not a question, but just kudos to Tom for having really taken the underwriting program and developing a whole like interface to make it easier for folks who are interested in sponsoring the station. So yeah, just kudos to Tom for that.
Thank you. Anything else? All right. Hearing none, you're off the hook, sir. Thank you so much for your report. We are ahead of schedule, so with your permission, I'd like to move forward to the Community Outreach Committee report. Any objection? Hearing none, the chair, Violetta Diamond, is here. Violetta, you have the floor.
All right. Good evening, everybody. The committee met on April 7th, and present were Art Highland, Gloria Turner, Sabu Hakeem, Mariah McClain, Martha Peterson, Marsha Edwards, Kamal Harris, Ellen Carter, Michael Byfield, Terry, Gloria Obundike, Minerva Sanders, and myself. And just to give a summary, we met and we focused on updates and planning for our upcoming events and initiatives. Art provided a comprehensive overview of the newsletter survey results, which showed feedback on content, organization, community engagement, and younger audience outreach. The committee discussed plans for the June 13th town hall meeting, which will be at the church that we used to have it on. I forgot the name right now. And of course, we would like each and every LSB member to be present. So mark that date, June 13th from noon to 3. And we do plan to include an introduction of the new general manager to the community. Martha reported on the 5K planning committee's progress, including advertising strategies and potential family-friendly activities, meaning that more activities for kids, hoping that that will bring in parents. Gloria announced plans to try to recreate the U Street Jam event for a day in November at the Masonic Temple. And she just announced that pending discussion with Shana on that. And the committee reviewed the motion that we sent last month that Kamal presented to the committee that was passed, about the requirement for LSB members to attend 3 outreach committee meetings annually and to participate in events. And the fact that the town hall meeting is in addition to the town hall meeting because everybody's expected to be there. We also discussed ways to coordinate with Craig on various station events throughout the year to help beef up volunteering at those events. And after the meeting, I did reach out to Craig, and Craig gave some more updates that I will give to the committee. Other than that, the report is on file. Those are the highlights, and that's it.
All right. Thank you so much, Member Diamond. You've heard her outreach committee report. Any questions for the committee? All right, we do have a little bit of a discussion in the agenda under new business, item 2, town hall preparation. So we'll address that at that time. Member Yowie, you have a question.
Yes, this is really not specifically related to outreach, but I think it should have gone under engineering, but my question is more in terms of accessing WPFW on the internet. And I know there's an app and I've downloaded the app, but I had been in the habit of copying the link to WPFW before the app and sending it to people and alerting them to different programs. And it seems that I'm not able to do that anymore. Is that, was that an intentional disabling of the access to the station on the regular internet other than the app?
Let me make sure I understand your question. You're saying that your browser, you're copying the address off of your browser, pasting it in an email, and sending it, and you're saying the receiver is not able to access the website after clicking on the link you've sent?
No, it's more that I'm unable to access the link when I try to. If I don't go to the app, if I just go to the internet, I'm just not able to download it and make a copy like I used to be able to. I'm just wondering if that's intentional or.
Is this on your phone or on your computer?
On my phone.
On your phone. Okay. Any, I think I hear you. Shani, you're the only one here. So do you have any insight as to why there might be, the link might be compromised there or what's happening?
It works for me. I'm interested in what link that you're using. I just dropped in the chat the link for the live stream. Does that work for you?
Let me see if this is the one I'm using.
This is to the direct live stream. And then we also have the other live players.
Okay.
Then folks can have options to use.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll try it again.
Yeah. Well, do me a favor then, just so we don't try to go through a tech session here in the meeting. It'd be kind of hard. But go ahead and connect offline if you could, with Shana, and maybe she can have somebody kind of troubleshoot with you or maybe, get a sense of what's happening there. I will say, if you're using your phone, all these phones have different, you know, ways in which they operate. iPhones, Android, whatever. It can be a little tricky from time to time. Have you fully updated your phone all the way, you know, patches and all that kind of stuff? So, you know, there's a bunch of little things that can kind of trick and wig out your connection there. So.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And I also wanted to welcome our new general manager. And when you mentioned updating the website, you know, bells went off in my head because I find it to be very, I don't know, it's not the easiest website to navigate. There's so much on there. So I really am thanking you for taking the initiative of simplifying it or improving it. I think that'll help. Our outreach, actually. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anything else regarding the outreach committee? All right. Hearing none, I'm going to move to program committee with your permission, only because we have about 14 or 16 minutes, excuse me, before community comment. And we typically have a pretty robust discussion around the director's reports. And we have, I think we have at least three directors here tonight that will, I hope, give us some reporting on what's happening at the national board. So with your permission, I'd like to go to our program committee and hear from them at this time. Any objection to that? All right. Hearing none, program committee is currently chaired by Member Sanders. Member Sanders, are you here? I think you are. Saw you somewhere. Member Sanders? She might have dropped. All right. I'll go to the vice. Member Hirsch, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was really hoping that Minerva would be here. Hopefully she can come back, but As some of us know, Minerva's been facing some health challenges. And so, we're moving forward. We're going to try to, replace her with a new chair and then replace me with a new vice chair if I end up being the chair if something else happens. We do have a meeting scheduled for a couple weeks from last Monday, and I'll drop that into the chat. There's a heck of a lot going on. I'm going to try to get the program committee up and running. There's a lot of work that we can do to help with, and we also want to complete work on that feedback form that we've been working on for a little while. So if there's any questions or anything else anybody wants to add, go ahead.
All right, you've heard the Member Kiyasi, you're a member of that committee, so go ahead. You have the floor.
Yeah, Kamau, I think you put me on the agenda.
I did.
So I'll defer my comments until then.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Sounds good. Not a problem. well, I'll use some discretion here. We've got about 15 minutes. If you want, we can pull that and put it here now, your program committee reset. I think Member Hirsch gave us a little bit of the insight already. Did you have something you'd like to add there, or can you get your comments in now before we get to 8 p.m.?
Oh, yeah, sure. I can. Yeah.
Floor is yours.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Okay. I got this brought up. Okay. The programming committee, our biggest problem is we haven't been able to get a quorum for 2 months. And I can say that, you know, I'm as guilty as anyone else for that. I think it was like 2 meetings ago. I got in very late, but, we need some commitment from the members of the committee to be there when we start the meeting so we can have a quorum, because we haven't been able to decide anything for like 2 or 3 months. And so, Kamau, I don't know if it's in order for me to list the people who are on the committee, at this time, you know.
You don't need to. What I will say, just to kind of support you in this, the LSB really is, not just the third Wednesday every month. The work is done in between these meetings. These meetings are really just to kind of summarize what's been happening, each 30-day period. And so we come here, we have our reporting, we have some questions for management, we have some questions for our committees, and then we go back out and do our work. So the expectation is that each of our members, have a role to play in both committees. That was really, it's actually 3 committees. You have finance, outreach, program. Relocation shows up when there's a moment in time that, that needs to happen. But, those 3 are the meat and bones of what's going on at the LSB. So the expectation is that you choose one of those in addition to being here, each third Wednesday. All right. So what David, Member Kiyasi is talking about not having quorum really shouldn't happen. It's something that we should be able to do because, you've signed up to be on the LSB, which also means you've signed up to take part in one of these committees. I know finance typically isn't the fun one. So I know those numbers are typically low, but usually outreach and programming have a pretty robust membership. And so, with the reset, I think that they're talking about, doing and, being timely on starting the meetings, being timely on getting the agenda out, so on and so forth. I think you'll find that the programming committee is very, very productive. All right. So I'm encouraging folk to take part in that committee, sign up, get with Member Hirsch. He's put the, he's the vice chair. He's put the, meeting in the chat, and get to that meeting, so that we can really do some good work. And I think that's what Member Kiyasi is trying to point to. Not that we need to call our membership out in that committee, but that you know, all of us know that it's our responsibility to fill those chairs in the subcommittees, okay? Did I hit it right, David, or are we good?
I just also wanted to mention that Minerva has stepped down from being the chair. I just wanted to make that announcement. So anyway, yeah, that's one of our main, that's like our main, number one objective at the next meeting, you know, to fill that vacancy. But, you know, we have a number of other issues, but we can't do anything if we don't have a quorum.
Absolutely. 100%. So, Ellen is our secretary. Carter is responsible for really trying to maintain, the list of membership on those committees. As Member Kiyasi said, he's got a list already. So let's try and get to Ellen. Each of us, I'm asking all of you to commit to one of those three committees. Send your commitment to Ellen via email. Ellen will then compile each of the committee's membership, send that back out so we can all understand who's committed where at in the LSB. Does that make sense? That's what I'm asking for all of us to do. All right. Find one that you can grab onto. Finance, outreach, programming. And then send that to Ellen. Let Ellen then compile the list. She'll send it back out and we'll have a solid commitment from each of us on those three committees. I see a couple hands. Member Hirsch, Member Lane in that order.
Yeah, real quick, I just wanted to say, if you're afraid of being assigned to provide feedback for a whole lot of shows, like 100 hours of shows in a week, don't worry about that. We're not going to do that to you. I noticed that our attendance dropped out right when we started talking about this project. We are going to do the project, but we're not going to have it way too heavily on anybody's particular shoulders. And this is just something that the program committee hasn't even been able to talk about yet because we haven't been able to get together. But I'd like to make the feedback form available to the community so the community could pitch in and, you know, like they say, many hands makes for light work. The program committee is going to be a lot of fun. We're not going to, wear anybody out. It's not like going to be jury duty or anything like that. It's going to be a real good time. So I really encourage everybody to consider joining in. And you don't have to limit yourself to one committee. Is that right, Mr. Chair? You can be on more than one committee?
That's correct. You do not have to, you have to choose one, but you can be on all three if you want to.
Yeah. So, and the program committee is going to be very important. Members have mentioned that there are some spots in the grid that need help filling. We're going to be very, very clear that we're not going to complicate the work of staff, and we're not going to get involved in causing a ruckus or any trouble. But we are going to be there to be helpful and provide input. And I think a lot of people have a lot of really great ideas, and we'd love to hear them on the programming committee meetings. Thanks.
Member Lane, you have the floor.
Yes, Kamal. And I need to apologize. I apologize to everyone. You know, I run two citywide organizations and I work and I'm recovering from stroke. So it's very difficult. And I committed to WPFW both through my programming, but also through my participation on the LSB. And when the LSB meetings, take place, I make sure that I'm active. I make sure that I give as many ideas as I can. I think part of the issue is the program committee and how people may see it. We just had comments about the program committee versus the program director. We all know that the bylaws are about to change. And there's some uncertainty as to what the program committee or any of the other committees and what their impact will even be. And so I think that, you know, there are those that might want to, but I mean, why commit to a monthly meeting when, the ideas that might be generated still go through a filter? And that if the relationship were more clearly defined, I mean, I think right now it is, but if it was more clearly defined in terms of the impact of a program committee through the eyes of a program director, I think that might change. But that right now, that doesn't change. It has not changed. You know, I've been an LSB member for what, 3 years? And it hasn't changed in 3 years. Michael still, and I mean Michael Byfield, still feels the way that he feels. And, you know, my earlier comments, even though I understand how he feels, I don't necessarily agree, but I understand how he feels, because if you join the program committee, you want to feel as though that will have an impact on programming. I mean, that would be my purpose for joining the program committee. But if I don't, if there's no real impact, just having a meeting to have a meeting, I can't do if I'm running two organizations and working and trying to recover from a stroke. And so it makes it really difficult. Now, that's me personally. I'm not speaking for anybody else, but I just wanted to put that out there before Robert Gordon cuts my neck off.
All right. Really quickly before we get to community comment, I your sentiments are well received. I do understand the feeling that what's happening in those committees has no impact on the station. My experience in these years I've been on the board is there's never really been a two-way street. We've either had commitment from the board, lacking commitment from management, or commitment from management, and then the board is not teed up and ready to go. So what I'm hoping can happen as we fill the seats in those committees and begin to say, hey, we've got a way in which we're evaluating some of the shows. We want to offer feedback. Here it is in a nice package. And the expectation is that we hear back from management in writing as to what that committee has done. Do we need to have management at the meetings? Yes, that would be great. But I feel like in any, you know, kind of situation where you're offering your services, you want to produce something that, you know, the receiver says, oh wow, this is good work. Let me use this. Let me dive a little deeper into it. And I think that's what that committee was really on the cusp of doing until there was that breakdown. So I think we need to look at it that way, where we as a board are producing and then at the same time adds value to what is happening at the station. All right. So I think it was member now we last month, you know, we tried to get some goals teed up and she said, look, let's just do basic blocking and tackling first and get ourselves in order. And in that way, you know, we can be well received and give value, add value back to the station. All right.
Can I give an example, Kamal? Yesterday, I sent an email to Sue and to Katia and to Shayna. And it was an invitation for WPFW to to participate in a candidate forum at the end of May with the NAACP, Urban League, National Action Network, Million Man Vote, all those organizations, plus Washington Informer. How, and I sent that because Shayna's the GM, Katia's the program director, and it was actually an invitation for Sue to sit on there because she's the news director. So should that have come into the program committee? I have no idea.
I hear you, and I think that's process as opposed to, again, what I think member Kiyasi, member Hirsch, what they're trying to do, and we're at time certain, so I'll just end it here. What I think they're trying to do is really establish at least a rhythm and a foundation within the LSB, LSB that then I said, like I said, adds value back, to the station. Those things that you're talking about, I think, you know, probably can, you know, a little more nuanced, but at least let's just get the basics down and then we can argue about, you know, who hears what first, under that situation. So, all right. I don't know. Someone's asking me about the chat. I don't, if you can't work in the chat, I don't know. I don't see anything under settings that, allows or doesn't allow you to do something in there. So member Vincent, what were you trying to do?
Just wanted to copy some of the information on the committees from the chat.
Copy. Yeah. I'm not sure. I looked at the settings and there's nothing there that tells me that, to turn on or off that function. All right. We're at time certain for our community. So we're going to invite folks from the community in. We'll take a stack, or if you are, unable to raise your hand, just speak up and, you have a full 3 minutes, 4 minutes. We'll give it 4 minutes time, member Gordon, 4 minutes. And then if you want to come back after that, you're welcome. So, Vanessa, that's right. Member of the community. Welcome. You have the floor. You're 4 minutes. Go ahead.
Greetings and salutations. Thank you for the welcome, Chairman Kamau. For anybody who doesn't know me, I am Vanessa Dixon Briggs, and I'm excited to speak during community comment, after serving 6 years on the LSB. So I'm excited to be back in this capacity. I also want to welcome the new general manager, Shayna. I'm not going to try to pronounce your last name because I know that I will mess it up. But when I heard Kamau say it properly after you said it to him, it flows beautifully and musically, very lyrically. So I will say to you, Shayna, if you like drama, then you will love being at PFW. So I very much appreciated listening to the special programs focusing on Paul Robeson and Lady Day. In particular, one of the shows that I really had an opportunity to listen to was Loveology. And I was really touched by his incredibly articulate and compelling description of the importance of Paul Robeson and how unfortunate it is that too many of our young people have no idea about Robeson's value to history, and for that matter, adults as well. And I also want to thank the new GM for clearly stating, in response to a question from an LSB delegate, that it is the job of the program director regarding the grid. So in my experience of 6 years as an LSB delegate, one delegate, the same delegate every month, is stuck in the mud about this issue. So I really appreciate Member Lane for appropriately objecting to the inappropriate statement by Member Byfield. As an update, the lawsuit is ongoing by the interveners who are opposing the improperly imposed bylaws by the group known as New Day, which illicitly bypassed the sanctioned method per the 2020 bylaws of amending the bylaws through vote of the membership through referendum. The interveners represent members from each station area who seek to return Pacifica to a democratically operated network such as continuing the practice of allowing programmers to run for office on the LSB and the Pacifica National Board. Programmers, one stellar example being Kamau Harris, who's chair of this LSB, are most knowledgeable about station affairs and about radio in general. So it's a mystery, really just a disservice for them to be disallowed under the new bylaws, not to run for office. And finally, I'd like to ask a question. This is about the elections, in terms of how the PNB plans to count votes. Is there a process in place to identify bona fide members, bona fide voters and candidates? So will this process be made public? If so, when and how? So I'm asking this question because I surveyed several LSB delegates as to what issue should be raised during community comment, and this was the number one question. And as a former LSB delegate, I find it extremely concerning that sitting LSB delegates have not been provided information by the Pacifica National Board about the upcoming election. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Duly noted on your question. Maybe one of our directors during their reporting might be able to chime in on that. Anybody else in the community? Actually, one second. I have Michelle Thomas, and then I have the phone number in 065 in that order, okay? So, Michelle, please, you have the floor, 4 minutes.
All right. Good evening, everybody. I'm always happy to attend this meeting. I'm a resilient member supporter, and I certainly believe in the mission of the radio station. And just trying to learn more in terms of, you know, where I can participate in terms of volunteer as I continue to, you know, tie to the organization. I want to welcome the new general manager, Shana. I'm going to take a stab at it because I think we should all be able to pronounce her name. So I'm going to have to teach us. Is it Luna Ai? Is Shana still there?
Yeah, Lono Aya. Yeah, I'll drop it phonetically in the chat. Thank you.
Oh, but we should practice it. We should not. I mean, how can we every time say I'm going to mess up your name? You're our general manager. We have to be able to. So you do that, and you know, just make sure we get it right. Well, I had. You know, I think membership is the most important thing, and it's my understanding with respect to elections that it is just, and correct me, you know, I need that information, is that it is members. It's not how many volunteer hours. I don't think it's member volunteers. I think it's a certain level of membership that are allowed to vote. And so, as we're making great strides in fundraising and finding different mechanisms to achieve that, we still, I believe, have a very low membership. And all the importance of this station, in my view, is that we need more membership and more membership involvement. And you had asked about what good thing that we appreciated hearing on the radio programming this week. I think one that I thought was, you know, excellent, East to the River, Ambrose Eileen Jr., the presentation of the recording of Paul Robeson testifying at the Congressional Committee Against, Congressional Committee of Un-American Affairs. And that was the most amazing thing that I had ever heard of Paul Robeson's speech. And that's something that can be played over and over again. Looking forward to more community engagement, the 5K run needs a lot of effort. I think, you know, I had attended my first town hall meeting, you know, months back, and looking forward to the June 13th town hall meeting. What I see, you know, just personally, in terms of what's going on in the world and what's happening in terms of the occupation of cities and DC,
Certainly we feel under, we feel very much occupied by, multiple police forces and the National Guard is not just resistance. We have these calls of jazz and justice, building a world, one broadcast at a time, building a better world. I think we have to find a way to, promote and spotlight resilience. And, because that is how every community is going to survive. That's how every family is going to survive. And I think, there's a need to, advocate for that. And so that's really all that I, have to say. I will, I will pick more volunteer opportunities going forward. And I will certainly, attend the Busboys and Poet, screening of, Democracy Now, documentary.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate you for that. The phone number ending in 065. You have the floor for 4 minutes.
Thank you. This is Star from DC. I want to welcome, Shana, the new GM. And sounds good so far that she went to the Paul Robeson event and the write-up I read of her history. She seems a very accomplished person. She seems to have a commitment and be real friendly. That's all good. I have some, concerns, however, that what hasn't been mentioned so far in her report, there's one little item, and that it's not so little. It has to do with the personnel issues that haven't been resolved yet, that have been coming up for the last couple of years, and I would like to hear an update on that. But the other thing has to do with a couple of the comments having to do with the station existing another or thriving another 50 years. And rebranding it. And I think that I'll deal with this rebranding. When we talk about branding, usually we're talking about a competitive enterprise. And we all have heard the dangers with psychological relative evaluations where you're comparing yourself to others and always feeling you're falling short or getting complacent because you think you're getting ahead, blah, blah, blah. Instead of evaluating your own record as an individual based on, or as a group, certainly, based on how you have been doing in the past. Have you improved? That almost happens naturally in human beings because of the way we're wired, but it really needs to be stressed, the dangers of talking about the station as though it's just one station among many. It should be, according to the mission statement, totally unique. And this brings me to the question of why we would be talking about the station lasting another 50 years. The station probably is not going to last another 50 years. We'll be lucky if it lasts, a couple more decades. Either it will be destroyed because of the huge problem with environmental collapse, with the threats of imminent war, with economic collapse that is predicted to hit even far worse in the next few months. Rising fascism. There's going to be a host of challenges just to our very existence. So the station will either die or the station will actually be superseded because we've actually made structural changes, revolutionary changes, so that every broadcast everywhere will have progressive content. So we need to, I think, really think about the time that we're in. I don't ever hear this. And it's a vital question. Right now, in addition to the predictions for years about economic collapse, I was unaware that it took these oil tankers weeks to cross the Atlantic. So if we hear that the government has released extra reserves in order to keep prices down, but we haven't begun to feel the real crunch of not having that oil at all, because the oil we're still getting was starting to ship over here before all of these war moves. And the stopping of traffic from the U.S. in the Strait of Hormuz. So things are going to be very hellish, and I'm not hearing any kind of preparation for that, either in terms of what is going to happen technologically to the station, if resources dry up or if there's increasing repression And where am I hearing about it in terms of a real orientation to political preparation? Some of the programmers clearly are addressing those issues and feel the urgency, but I don't get it as an overall thing. I just don't. I'm not hearing it. And the fact that we're accepting underwriting from pretty big, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of discrimination about the money. That's going to mitigate against our being prepared for what we should be prepared for politically. And I didn't hear all of Sue Goodwin's report, but I did hear her mention that she scans 30 stations, or I mean, sorry, 30 news sources that she is listening to going to drop site news.
That's 4 minutes, Mr. Chair, just to let you know, that's 4 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead, Star. You can finish up.
Okay, just I listen to Al Jazeera. It has news you won't get in the mainstream media, but it also is heavily criticized by some of the groups that are more in solidarity, like Electronic Intifada and a lot of others, as being very distorted. It's run out of Qatar. And we had the host on Community Comment, one of the hosts, 3 weeks ago, saying that the Democratic Party doesn't start the wars. The Republican Party always starts the wars, and the Democrats have to come along and clean that up. And if you don't understand what is wrong with that statement and the need to really address the political consciousness of the people at WPFW as well as the public, there's nothing that I can say. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You call in user one. You have the floor. I don't know who that is, but it says call in user one. If you know who you are, go ahead. Call in user one. Going once. Going twice.
Oh, here I am. Sorry, I didn't realize I was muted in the system. Hello to everyone. It is a pleasure to attend a WPFW LSB meeting and to participate in public comment since the rest of the network seems to be abandoning the public part of the public comment. My name is Serena. I am a WPFW member. I don't think I'm overdue. I think I'm still a member, and I am in on the PNB and the WBI LSB in New York, but I love PFW. I wanted to just, and I'm sure someone will clarify this down the road, but the definition with regard to the $25 and the 30 hours are conflating the staff and listener categories. Listeners can volunteer for 3 hours under station supervision or do that $25 going back to July 1st of last year to June 30th of this year. Staff people have to qualify with 30 hours over April, May, and June, a total of 30 hours. More to come on that, I'm sure. It's a lot to absorb when you're new. I did want to say welcome to Shayna and look forward to seeing where you and WPFW will be going. I was looking earlier in the week. I saw WPFWDC.org, which I imagine is the test site. And I do have two quick concerns. One is whether there was an RFP, a request for proposals, before the selection of the firm to do the work. And the other is that the site gives a warning that you must accept our cookies. And generally, Pacifica websites don't ask the cookie question or have an opt-out policy because we don't use cookies. So, and that's a conversation I'd had, exchange I'd had with the executive director, last year or the year before. So that's something to think about. And I was also wondering just whether, and I do recognize that you have the authority to make certain decisions. I was thinking it would have been a good idea, or maybe it did happen, to at least, with the paid staff, talk about what the most pressing needs are for the station. I know how to use the old website, and I'm old and I'm stuck in my ways, so it's fine with me. But I do understand because I do look at other stations, non-Pacifica stations, and certainly we could spruce things up. So I look forward to see what's coming, but I do have those concerns about input and, of course, selection of the vendor who's going to be used. Looking forward to your town hall meeting. I won't be there in person, but, you know, I think it's really important that we include the public. And my comment earlier about public comment was that our stations, the three K stations, and if I said KKK stations, someone would say, oh, you're being racist. But, you know, KPFA had a meeting at which they wouldn't let any members of the public speak, only people from organizations. KPFT had its meeting with organizations, and they've now said members of the public can only speak, I think it's twice, even if there's still time within that 30-minute public comment period that our bylaws require. KPFK, similarly, on Sunday they met and completely excluded members of the public, only included organizations. And in fact, they scheduled the meeting on what is a traditional LA celebration that's really important to the Latino community. And a number
that's
of members.
That's 4 minutes,
board,
Mr. Thayer. Just to let you know, that's four
is
minutes.
That time?
Got it.
I will pause. Thank you, sir.
All righty. Thank you. I have a phone number ending in 438. You have the floor, whoever that is in 438. Yep.
Thank you. This is, my name is Nancy Sarbarnati Tomi. I'm from Houston, KPFT, long-term member. Well, not really that long, but spent 16 years involved as a volunteer. I'm really excited listening to, I came in around, what time? Anyway, you're talking, came in around 6:15. Anyway, your time, 5:15, I guess. Anyway, maybe 6:15. The important thing is, I'm really excited about your town hall. I'm asking the new GM and this board consider doing a hybrid, you know, virtual, so people can call in and on the air. Do it on the air. And you're really inclusive and you're making big history. All these people who cannot get out and go to a church, cannot travel, and there's a lot of, you know, our listenership, all five stations are a lot of old elder people, and they can join, and the people who do not have Wi-Fi devices, they can join. People who are busy and don't have a smartphone, they have only maybe a flip phone, and we have a board member at KPFT has a flip phone, no smartphone. Do it on the air. Almost everybody will say, yes, you're being really inclusive if you do a town hall on the air. How wonderful. And the negative reasons are, oh, we'll have some people calling in with an axe to grind. We don't want anything negative. Well, I think we should be standing on free speech radio, which is what Pacifica is. And that's the only reason why I'm volunteered my time and my energy and my blood, because it's for free speech. And the mission, anybody new on the board that hasn't read the mission, please look it up. it's really important. We're getting a lot of new board members at KPFT, and I don't think they've heard of it yet. All right. Anyway, please think about that. That would be just wonderful, because this station is a gem right now. you have more committee meetings than anybody else. There's no committees at KPFA. There's no committees at KPFK. At KPFT, we have only one committee that's working monthly, and that's the outreach. And we have the governance committee, which is every other month. There's no finance committee. They don't think it's necessary because budget's already passed. At KPFT, it's to spend a few months of finance committees each year, and then once the budget is passed, no more finance committees, as if, you know, there's nothing to be done. Okay, anyway, I'm complaining, but anyway, in the new bylaws, there's no public comment required, and that's why they're going after public comment. So at KPFT, only a person can speak 3 minutes, a total of two times, so 6 minutes. So last LSB meeting, the public comment finished after 10 minutes. So the rest of the 20 minutes, the LSB took that time. And then we had a real quick LSB meeting. It was total from beginning to end, 1 hour and 32 minutes. For the really quick LSB meeting. What did we discuss in that meeting? What was discussed to make world peace? What was discussed to help? We have so many problems here in Texas and Houston. We have a crazy, I shouldn't say that. Anyway, we have a governor.
That's 4 minutes, Mr. Chair, just for the record.
Okay, I'll return.
I was kind of scared to jump in. I didn't want to jump in.
Thanks.
See, the next one I'll talk about.
Thanks, Nancy. All right. Anybody else from the community or just somebody, anyone else from the community?
Can we have another go?
Yeah, I think I'm just trying to see if there was someone who hasn't gone yet that would like to. If not, I see there's a couple of folk who want another bite. So I started with Michelle Thomas. So let's go. Did you say you wanted another bite at the apple?
Yeah, sure.
Let's go 2 minutes, Mr. Chair, okay? All right.
I'll be very brief, but, hearing about, the trials and tribulations and other Pacifica radio stations, and in comparison to this one, that is, my point in terms of increasing membership, because if you only have a few people at community comment, and they made those restrictions, but you didn't have any people. Mm. And so even though we may have, and I've heard what the actual number of membership is, but that doesn't mean active participatory leadership. And so we need more of that. And I think what I hear in terms of, the fear of, what the future, is for us. Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm talking about reliance, resilience, because people will rebel. But, the question is, how do you build community and create relationships, and how do you take responsibility, have dignity and pride, and move forward in terms of, what we can do to move forward. And certainly the cultural aspect of what's provided here, the political commentary. And we can't, everyone can't agree to the same political philosophy in terms of what's going on. It's the debate and, and the practice that people are, because there are people who talk a lot and they've never done anything. And I'm just taking that privilege as an elder, someone who has been involved in many different struggles in the past, who paid some dues along the way. And, I haven't lost hope. I I'm with Harriet Tubman, freedom or death.
There you go.
I'll make it.
Thank you. Star, 2 minutes.
Thank you. I just wanted to, this is a big subject that's been raised before, and I know that there are people on the board, I know for a fact, that understand this very well. Many of you probably do. But I have real concern that there be some way of reintroducing the daily community comment programs where we could comment as things came up and on the programming. And I, particularly when we have Amy Goodman as the flagship program, she can do coverage and has done some wonderful coverage about situations that we might not have good alternative videos or people to teach us about. But her overall perspectives have been very, very soft on Zionism, and there's definitely no understanding whatsoever of the whole global power structures in terms of trying to break up the Eurasian continent in part through having NATO back Ukraine as a wedge into the large areas and other kinds of aggressive acts. She recently, just as an example, endorsed a film called Holding Liat, which is about, it's a documentary about a family, an Israeli family that had a woman taken, two or three people taken hostage and their family. One of them died in captivity. The other came out, the woman, and wrote a New York Times editorial, saying that her eyes had been opened to the oppression of the Palestinians. So that sounds fine, except for the fact that the documentary opens with a complete distortion of what happened on October 7th and presents facts, these lurid pictures of Hamas going in and just shooting up women and children and civilians willy-nilly, which has been discredited by almost every reputable news source, that Apache helicopters did most of the damage, and even Israeli hostages said upon release that they were trying to be, they were actually protected by the militants. Because the objective was to get hostages. Okay. And just last thing, I mean, the lead character who is supposed to be a good man, who's opening to Palestinian oppression, at least to considering it, blames the whole thing, everything that has gone wrong in Israel, on the religious right, which is a complete distortion of history. And she lets all of that stand. And this is huge in terms of distorting consciousness. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have 4 minutes. I think I see two hands, so you get 2 minutes apiece. Call in user one. You have 2 minutes.
Okay, thanks, Serene again. I want to invite you, as I did last month, to listen to the Governance Committee meeting, which is tomorrow. Your colleague there, Julie Hewitt, is the chair. Last month after I spoke, someone asked a question about the new members, the quote, new members who had been added to the PNB, whether they had been long ago members or recent members. They're pretty recent. Neither of them, they're both term limited under the real bylaws, so neither of them should be on the PNB. But of course, the corruption of the improperly imposed New Day settlement bylaws means that the PNB can put whoever it wants on the PNB. And one thing Julie did not mention, which is unfortunate because I think it's significant, is that in fact those members were not voted on by their LSB. According to the bylaws that were properly approved, an LSB decides which three listeners and one staff person go to the PNB. So there'll be another dance around the real bylaws tomorrow night. And I implore you, please listen and hold people accountable for what they say. She said at the last meeting that since only about 10% of listeners are members and only about 10% of members vote, that it was actually a tyranny of the minority to expect that elected representatives, people who were elected pursuant to the bylaws, that were in place at the time and hopefully will be in place again after a judge has had their say, that it was ridiculous to expect that to stand. So please pay attention to who is speaking on your behalf. Thanks.
All right. Lastly.
Oh, I'm sorry. The website to listen to the meeting tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern, is kpftx.org, kpftx.org. Thanks.
A couple minutes left. Call in user 438. Did you want another bite at the apple or no?
Yes. Yes.
Very quickly. We have about a minute.
Okay. My colleague, who I respect highly, told me I misspoke and said the new bylaws does not have that, not required public comment. So I'm going to check later. And so don't take my word for correct until I check that. And apologize again or anyway. What I wanted to say is about you do not need quorum to do some discussing and brainstorming and creativity. You do not need quorum. You can do it with as an informal meeting and take notes so you have something before you come to the next to be thinking about and building upon. I've had lots of quorum meetings where we didn't pass anything, but we got some really good brainstorming done. So you don't have to have quorum. Come on, programming is so important, a committee. And you're the only station that has a programming committee. So please go ahead and do it. There's so many things you can work on. So many things you can do. Is it 2 minutes already?
Yeah. Well, you had a minute. So, we're at time certain here. So I do appreciate your input. I appreciate your passion as well. Our community.
And the town hall. Briefly. The town hall's not on the Pacific calendar yet.
Yeah. The committee's still working it out. We have it on our agenda here now. So, stick around and we'll be talking about that briefly. All right. Thank you all, community members, for your input. It's very, very highly valued, very important that we hear from our folks who make the station run. Very, very important. So thank you. PNB Director's Report. We're going to go in reverse order, reverse alpha this time. So we have Director Williams here tonight, correct? I think I saw Dennis. You have the floor, sir.
Good evening. Trying to think what I have. Can you hear me?
Yep. You're ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. What I have to report. I know I've been, working on the personnel committee, and we had a meeting, the other night at which the executive director kind of laid out, sort of a curriculum for the committee to be working on, I raised the idea of our, the Programmer's Bill of Rights that we enacted several years ago. And that is on the agenda, at some point. I don't think that's the first thing up. What she has said is that in the meantime, I believe she has said that she is using basically the same criteria that's in the existing employee handbook for grievance procedures. I believe that's what she said. We've been just going over the definitions of the different classes of folks at the stations, and I think there was I had a misunderstanding from the meeting this week about the I thought that there was a consideration of a change in status for our volunteer programmers as staff, but I've been assured that that is not the case. So let me just leave it at that for now, and then see if my memory is jogged by anything my colleagues have to say.
Thank you so much. Member Sanders, are you with us? I know you've been in and out. Director Sanders, are you available?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I am available. And you're right, I have been in and out.
Mm-hmm.
For this evening, I think it's very important. Well, this evening and all meetings that we have, it's very important that we continue to talk about the things that we're hoping to see change. When in 2027, we need to continue to have our listeners, and we've talked about this at the PNB, have more listener members engaged in this. We need to begin now handing out information to the public that identifies what listeners do at the station, what rights they have, so on and so forth. And also ask them to give us information about programs that they want to hear on the radio and activities they want to be involved in, because we do a lot of arguing about different things. And I'm not going to disagree with people saying that's important to do, but we need to spend some time to talk about where we're moving forward to. And that's what we're not doing right now. We're spending more time going back and going over things that have been out there. And a lot of these people who are speaking up about these things have been around for years. And it took, I've only been on the board for 6 years. It took me, during my, probably about 2 or 3 years ago, I started seeing there was more to what was going on here as opposed to just our LSB. And that's when I went to the PNB, and I'm still chafed, and I'll use that term not lightly, but fully. We need to be doing more to make sure our stations are helping Pacifica to be able to maintain and do what they're supposed to do. If there's something going on there that you dislike, then we need to bring that forward, but we bring it forward to them in the right way. A lot of things are just being said in open meetings as opposed to the committee brings it to the PNB, and then the PNB talks about it, and then we go ahead and move forward. But those things aren't happening right now, and I'm hoping we get better at that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Director Sanders. Director Pinchback is not here this evening, so Director Hewitt, you have the floor.
Yeah, thanks. Chair. So I'll report a little bit about what happened at the April 2nd PNB meeting, which was the last meeting we've had and the only PNB meeting we had since the March LSB meeting. Ellen sent the ED report to everyone on the LSB, and there's a couple of things to be highlighted there. One of the things that's important is a national election supervisor has been selected. That has to happen by March 31st in every election year. And so that did happen. The National Election Supervisor, you know, kind of helps, is sort of the independent person who runs the elections. It's someone, you know, otherwise not affiliated with Pacifica who, you know, can make sure that the elections are free and fair, and that we have good lists of voters, et cetera, et cetera. I appreciate that during community comment, Serene corrected the point about membership, and let me just reiterate it one more time. Listener members have two ways to become members. One is either donate $25 or volunteer for 3 hours over the course of a year, right? And that's documented. So that's how you become a listener member. Staff, if you're paid staff, you're just staff. If you are a volunteer programmer, you have to donate 30 hours over a 3-month period. And that's why Sheena was talking about it being important to register and log hours and so on and so forth. So any rate, so there's a slightly different metric there for who's in which membership class. Going back to what was in the at the PNB meeting in the executive director's report. So we have a national election supervisor, Anya Lovest, and her bio's in the ED's report. Shayna Lona Aya was named the GM for WPFW. Practice makes perfect, right? But there was also another GM who was named, and that is Bob Henley, who's now the GM at WBAI in New York. He had been the interim GM, and now he's the GM. And there's also been a change at KPFK in that they are going from one interim GM to another interim GM. There's that. Stephanie Wells, the executive director, talked a little bit in the her executive director report about wanting to kind of recharge our fundraising and development efforts, and, you know, drawing a distinction between you know, how you raise funds on air and how you raise funds off the air. And you know, some of the off-air kinds of efforts are things like developing a major gifts program, and so how to write grants, et cetera. And so she's trying to get some energy around that. We did have a closed session portion of the meeting last time, and you know, while I can't really talk about what's in the closed session, the one thing that I will say is we had a report in closed session from the audit committee. And as people probably realize, as a nonprofit, we have to have audits, and it's the job of the audit committee to select the auditor and make sure that an audit is conducted, et cetera. And so we heard a closed session report from the audit committee. And so that's about all I can say about that. Yeah, I think that's everything I wanted to say. And right. I see Dennis put his hand up, so I apparently jogged his memory.
I'll let you have one more bite, Dennis, and then we'll go to a stack. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Yeah. And thanks for clarifying the voting, requirements are coming back to that, Julie, because I still have a question. So 30 hours over a 3-month period. So a programmer who's on air for an hour a week or even 2 hours a week, might not hit that mark. Isn't that?
I unmuted the wrong me. if I can, I think the point is that it's not hours on the air. So a lot of programmers spend a good deal of time preparing for their show. Mm-hmm. And so even if it's only 1 hour a week, I think, you know, it's that extra prep time also counts, because otherwise they wouldn't be putting as, you know, high quality programming on the air. So
just to clarify, so is there a process for people to document that? And is that in the bylaws? Is that something that the PNB passed, that 30 hours over 3 months?
The 30 hours over 3 months is in the bylaws.
Okay.
I think station management has more control over what's the documentation process. Okay. Then so I, as a not volunteer,
okay,
I can't speak to that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You've heard from our directors, and I'll take a stack. Anybody have any questions for our representation at the national board? Member Byfield, you have the floor.
Yes, I don't know if this was Julie or Dennis. But what is our Pacifica's approach in terms of regaining CPB funding? I know it's our rights as taxpayers, and that in the very same way the Supreme Court voted down the Trump administration's tariff, which was illegal. That my understanding is CPB funding falls along the same line. So what's our position on that?
Question for Member Byfield, for any one of our directors, is what is the organization's position on obtaining CPB funding into the future? Anybody have an answer for that at this point?
Well, I know I've heard no discussion of that at the PNB level, especially considering at the moment there is no CPB, and I don't know if there are discussions about plans for what to do if and when it comes back. Those have not made it to the floor of the board yet.
Yeah, I reiterate what Dennis said. That's, you know, there is no CPB. They have no funding from Congress. So they wound down their operations as of, I think it was September 30th, 2025. So, I mean, will it come back someday? I sure hope so. But we weren't receiving CPB funds when they lost the congressional appropriations, and that was their source of funding. So, you know, we would have to do a lot of work to get back in the good graces of CPB if there was a CPB. So the future's just really difficult to predict on this one.
And frankly, let me add personally that if the experience of the last year suggests powerfully to me that if there were a CPB, I would have serious qualms about us getting in a position of depending on that again. I question the wisdom of that. But that's just my personal opinion.
Sure. No problem. Anyone else have any questions for I guess the question from the Vanessa, the bona fide, how does one we know how to become a member, but how does one assure that you're a candidate and then assure that the voting population is bona fide? How does that take place? I think that was her question. I don't have it here. Does anyone have a response for her on that in terms of how we'll be able to know as an organization that one is actually confirmed to be a voter and or confirmed to be a candidate legally? And is that something that's going to come out in writing and or given to us at some point?
I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. We can take it back to Stephanie and see if we can get an answer. The National Election Supervisor's been on the job for 2 weeks, and so I'm not sure whether she, you know, has had a chance yet to prepare, you know, an announcement to be able to share with all members and so on and so forth. But I know they are actively working on the membership list right now.
Yeah,
so on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I agree that it would be appropriate to ask the it would be the executive director and the national election supervisor would be the ones to promulgate and publicize the policies and procedures around voter certification and candidate certification.
All right. Okay. There's your answer. Thank you. Any other questions? We have time certain is 8:55 for this matter. So any other questions for Member Nyawi? You have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. My question is related to Member Sanders' remarks. I'm afraid I'm a bit of a concrete thinker, and her remarks had a lot of urgency to it, and I'm really not sure of, you know, precisely what it is that she was urging us to do. If she could, I don't know, maybe simplify it or give an example of what the expectation is for the board, I think that will be helpful for me.
Member Sanders. Yeah.
Okay. And thank you, Wanda, for that question. And let me just share with everyone that I think what's taking place right now is people are beginning to put together questions that they have. What does this mean? What's it going to look like in the future? And those questions would then go from either your representatives to the PMB or directly to the ED or president of the PMB so that those things can be considered because, you know, we can't come up with all the answers unless we know what the community's looking for. And like I said, more time has been spent arguing over what was in place and there's very little time been spent talking about what's it going to look like when everything's said and done. What do you envision it looking like? And that's where, you know, that's what I'm saying. If you've got thoughts, put them on paper, give them to someone so they can ask those questions for you. I just can't believe that we're going to wait until everything's said and done, whatever it is, and then we come out and complain. We need to be talking about what do we want to see? How do we want it to work? What should be going on? And those are the things that I feel we can do better, given that information. Very intelligent people here, and I know you have those thoughts. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We're at time certain, 8:55 for this matter. On to unfinished business. I've got a couple of things here. I'm going to give Member Byfield the floor. He wanted to go forward with trying to close out or close a circle here on the Bill of Rights / grievance policy as it relates to our volunteer staff. So, Member Byfield, if you could give us a synopsis on what you're attempting to do here this evening.
Yes, good evening. And for the new members, which may not understand the grievance process for volunteers, and 90% of the programmers at our station are volunteers. There, for many, many years, close to a decade, we've been trying to put together a grievance process for the volunteers of the station. And about 2 years ago now, we successfully worked on it, and a committee here put together process. Since that time, the ED really kicked the can down the road by not really having us implement it. And it is my contention that if we continue to do that, we're seriously jeopardizing what she's running from, which is a lawsuit. And in my last case that I made, which was in our February meeting, we voted on it. And there are some people who didn't have a full understanding of what we were trying to accomplish. So what I wanted us to do again was to bring this to the floor and have our board vote on it. And the issue that we're asking to implement it at our station, which would take us out of the crosshairs of having something happen and getting sued, which in historically what Pacifica always does is settle. And I don't think we want to go down that road. And I think in us not doing that, it's I classify it as abuse of the membership's dollars, that our management isn't really paying attention to that issue with the seriousness that we need to really pay to it.
All right. So is that your refinish there? Member Byfield?
I'm finished, yeah.
Okay. All right. So then if you all those who were here, in the prior month, the vote, we went through a motion and we got hung up on whether the grievance policy could be posted on the internet. Okay. So there's an understanding for us internally. And, you know, unfortunately, Shayna's new, so you might have to get up to speed with this, but the grievance policy itself can be implemented locally. It was the posting of the particular document as a personnel matter on the website that the national board and the executive director under her leadership is not really keen on doing, is exposing that material publicly. I think we went round and round and we determined that there is no legal requirement to post the grievance policy. If folks kind of getting their memory jogged again, I know it's been a little while before we discussed this, but it's essentially a matter of our management taking the policy on as a matter, as a way to deal with or to manage, frankly, their volunteer staff. Their volunteer staff having these particular rights as outlined in the policy. And there isn't a, there's no reason why that can't be done if local management is okay with it as is. Does that make sense? Does anyone have a question? I see your hand. Member Lane, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I'm not sure that we don't have the ability, if we're not going to put it on the website, to send it out to the listserv. And when I say listserv, I mean the LSB listserv, the programmers listserv, and the members as well. That's different than posting it publicly on the website. And so that, I mean, I don't know if Michael considers that splitting hairs, but it is a way, because the volunteers come from the members. But then again, volunteers do come from, well.
Not all of them.
Right. I was getting ready to say not all of them. Volunteers, some volunteers can come from the general public that may or may not be members. So if that being the case, the alternative in my mind would be to post it on the website, but in posting it, say, these are the current, grievance procedures. They are subject to change. Okay. Or they are subject to change according to the Pacifica National Board. And that way, people in the public, as well as programmers and everybody else, they know what the grievance procedure is, but at the same time, it can be changed. I mean, I can't think of another way to thread that needle other than that.
Okay.
I think you're splitting hairs, but you make a good case. I'm a volunteer. I'm not a programmer, but I don't see myself in that category.
Let me ask this. Is the point here to have our management implement the policy or not? What ultimately are we trying to do? Because that I think we're getting lost in a lot of different things. And so I want to hear from folk. Are we comfortable? We voted on this grievance policy already. Is it just that we would like to see it implemented as approved? I mean, that I think needs to be the primary point. And then I see, Shane is still here, so I'll let her chime in, but think about that as a point. Is it really just make sure that if there's a grievance from the class of staff called volunteer from a volunteer, that there is a process in place that management is obligated to follow? So Shayna, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Sorry. Thanks, everyone. Yeah, I'm trying to get caught up. My understanding is that I hear folks in sharing their concerns around the culture, the volunteer culture around the station. And it actually makes me kind of sad that folks have been fighting for so long for some sort of grievance process, because I wonder... one, what conflicts arise, how was conflict mediated, and also understanding that conflict is normal. Conflict happens when different people come together. and how we navigate it is an opportunity to learn how to better take care of each other. My concern is that when it becomes, like, say, if it rises to the area of, like, harassment or discrimination, right? Those are legal issues, that can, I think, affect Pacifica as a whole, right? Because we're under Pacifica as, the Pacifica is the nonprofit and we're one of the stations. So I'm not opposed to having a grievance process. I think we should definitely have one. But I want to come at it from a very values-oriented place of one that is non-carceral, one that is about transformative justice, one that talks about mediation, and that also just outlines the ways that, like, we as people who are committed to movement, to music, that we care for one another, that we keep each other safe. So I'm not opposed. I just don't think we should put it on the website. I would want a copy of this Bill of Rights, and copy of, like, what is it that y'all proposing? Mm-hmm. Because this is also can be something that's handled at the volunteer orientation, is just outlining for folks what sort of safe place, welcoming place that we're trying to create when folks come in and be part of the WPFW community. So that's really all that I'm interested in. And also in the event that it becomes, like, extremely contentious, or unsafe, right? That is, that escalates it to a situation of this impact Pacifica. And also I do have some concerns around, if, say, I implement a policy, and then does it implicate Pacifica as, like, if someone sues me or wants to sue or something comes up, and then but Pacifica as a nonprofit didn't agree to it, I would end up in the crosshairs, right? So that's just something that I'm also just wondering about, curious about. But yes, I agree that, like, people should feel welcomed and people should feel safe when they're interacting with us. Grievance process is just a way to ensure that and enshrine it. So yeah. So thanks for raising this. I hope that also moving forward, that, like, the grievance process, whatever it looks like, is there, but it's not arising from a moment of crisis. It's a very thoughtful, reflective, and honestly loving. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. Member Hewitt, you have the floor.
Yeah, I mean, thinking back to the conversation we had a month ago, I think what I heard was a fair bit of consensus around the people who need to be able to see this document primarily are the programmers, right? And other listener members who volunteer their time. So, you know, sort of the volunteers that Vinny keeps track of, right? But that's the primary audience. And then where I feel like we didn't have total consensus was spreading it further than that, right? And that's where I think some people were uncomfortable and other people thought it was important. And, you know, to Kamal's original question, what do we want to see happen here? I think what we want to see happen is that there is some kind of formal grievance process that folks can rely on as being there to back them up, you know, and that things that people will be treated fairly, et cetera. Because I think part of why we came up with this in the first place was at least the perception that in some instances people hadn't been treated fairly. And this was developed out of the context of, you know, a specific incident or anything. It was meant to be, you know, kind of widely applied. And I feel like that's what we really need. And we should just go for that. And we can always further down the road, if it evolves, you know, send it back out to folks or if we decide it really does need to go to a broader audience than the two groups I just listed, the volunteer staff and the volunteer listener members, you know, that we can have that conversation when we're able to articulate that need and why we think that should happen. So that's what I think.
Yeah. All right. In the essence of time, we'll need a motion. I don't know, Member Byfield, if you had something prepared on this, but I would ask for a motion to, in a way that we would have the policy implemented. Is there something you have prepared, or do we need to cobble something together?
We need to cobble something together. Brother Eileen Jr., do you want to go back to what we had the last time?
I don't know. If Ellen, do you have at your fingertips the motion we had last month? I don't have the minutes in front of me, so.
I don't have it in front of me. I had to look for it.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it. Member Avery Brown, you have the floor. Let me see if I can find the.
Okay. I wonder if now that we have a new general manager who has just articulated some very specific concerns and opinions about this, which seem to be in favor of what we're attempting to accomplish here, but would it be appropriate to have her at least look at the proposal, the agreement, the Bill of Rights, and maybe have input before we make a final decision on it?
I say no.
Hold on.
I know there's a sense of urgency, but I think that it would be, she's going to be the one to have to enforce it and to embrace it and et cetera. So
in my humble opinion, I think that would, you can answer that within the motion. Right. So if we want the motion to read implementation upon review by general manager or something like that.
That would be fine.
You know what I mean? So, but you all have to help me. Somebody's got to kind of generate this thing so we can put it, we can memorialize it as a motion and then determine how we're going to vote or accept it going forward. Member Lane, did you have something?
I did.
Yeah, go ahead.
So is it my understanding that we actually adopted the grievance procedure? Have we adopted it as an LSB?
This has already gone through the voting for it to be adopted. We literally got hung up at how it was supposed to be rolled out and informed the volunteer staff. I think we're hung up on, you know, the public nature of it, whether it should be presented in public or not.
That being the case, I think that the new GM should have the opportunity to look at it, but it's already been adopted.
That's correct.
We need to be clear. The only issue here is whether or not, the new GM will implement it. And that's, I think that that's what we're arguing, whether or not she should implement it or, and how, whether or not it should be on the website or not. As far as, it being a procedure, that's already adopted. Mm-hmm. And just like any other thing that has been decided upon, it is incumbent on the GM to review those documents so she can familiarize herself with
it. I have been out of the family for 30 years.
Excuse me.
Hold on.
I'm done.
Star.
You're making make hundreds. You got the house. That's what you wanted. And now you're going to get a lot of money. That's what you care about.
Star. You
know? I don't want anything to do with you. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Ambrose.
Okay. So there's no, further decision that has to be made about the content of the policy. There's no further debate. It's just that the GM should familiarize herself with it. And if she feels as though there's anything within what was already adopted, she can most certainly propose to make changes. But as of right now, this is about adopting something, implementing something that we've already adopted. And how it'll be implemented.
Member McLean has put something in the chat. It may help us put a bow on this. This body so moves to implement the current Bill of Rights and share with volunteers upon orientation of new members after the prompt review and approval from the new general manager. I don't know if that's in the form of a motion.
It's definitely not. Sorry.
No. I'm not criticizing your, I just want to make sure we're not,
okay. So, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
I think we're okay there. Go ahead quickly.
Okay. And this is the history of WPFW. Okay. The new GM, the GM before her, Jerry Paris, also had a grievance process, and he almost served a decade, and it never moved anywhere. Okay, Miyuki was there for almost 2 years; it hasn't moved anywhere. Now, what I am afraid of, okay, is our new GM. Well, there's no way a person is going to come into a new job, take something like that, and spit it out. It's gonna be the same thing, okay?
Wait a minute.
What I worry about is that GM is gonna be saddled with dealing with a potential lawsuit, and she's gonna have to talk to the PNB about it in Pacifica and go through all of that. That's what I worry about. Good reason to worry about that.
Member Byfield. My question is, You say it's going to be the same thing. What do you mean by that? Because that...
It's going to kick the can down the road.
Okay.
That's what it's going to mean.
Okay.
That's exactly what I mean.
All right.
It's going to kick the can down the road. No offense.
Well, let's let, I think, somebody who's come into this job and understands, I know, the, importance of managing people, that she will review and critique it appropriately. I think we give her, I think member Avery Brown said the 30 days, come back here in, May, allow her to give us feedback. And, I think we should be fine from there. If there's something materially wrong that she feels, I'm sure she'll give us that feedback. And then we'll have the policy. Now, look, we are not day to day.
The ED couldn't do it.
Let me finish my thought. We're not day to day in, the station. All right. So implementation of these policies is really incumbent upon management. We can't force them to do it. All right. This process, this grievance policy was developed by both volunteer programmers, by management staff, and then voted on and adopted by, board members as well. We all collectively worked on this. Now, if management is going to take that document and say, well, I don't need it, then that's on them. There's not much we can do about that, Member Byfield. I'm sorry to say it. There's not much. But I think it's a well-developed policy. I think it's something that can be used, in your words, to protect the station. And I think we should let our general manager give it an honest review. Member Lane, you have one more bite at the apple.
And then this is the policy of WPFW. The current grievance policy that was voted on is the policy. Now, it is certainly up to the GM and at their discretion in terms of how they will implement this policy. But it is the policy until it has been, until we vote to change it. It is the policy. There's not a debate as to whether or not it's supposed to be or if it could be. It is the policy. And I believe that the GM should have 30 days to see it, review it. But that's different than saying that it is not going to be the policy that is going to be implemented. That's different. Those are two different things.
But here's my point on that. And then we have about 5 minutes here, so we have to kind of bring it to a close. It's technically the policy we want. Right? I mean, that's really what's happening here. And so we're saying to management, we've produced a document we feel is going to assist and help them manage the organization in a much better way, right? So that there's a roadmap or a blueprint as to how to handle the grievances of volunteers. Since they're not technically the employee handbook volunteers, it's or handbook employees, they're volunteers. So we want this to be implemented, all right? And I think that's where we're stuck at, is that, yes, we say it's the policy. We need management to then say to everybody underneath them, hey, these are your rights. This is the grievance policy. This is how, you know, we'll handle issues that you have that come up that fall under this framework.
That is the Pandora's box, because that means that any policy that we have voted on can be reviewed and decided not to be implemented. That's what that means.
I know, Member Lane, but see, this is the quagmire that we're in with the way in which a lot of these bylaws and really the former bylaws read. How does this body implement something of this nature? I don't know.
But the new bylaws have not been implemented yet. So until they are actually implemented,
some might argue with that.
Well, I don't know who, but we haven't had elections. It's still in litigation.
No. Well, look, okay, I'm not going to open that.
Right.
Look,
right.
The point here is what I'm trying to make is that I don't know. I'll ask if there's an objection to this, but I feel the body is asking for our general manager to review the document and to come back to us in May, agreeing to implement it or not agreeing to implement it and giving us an understanding why.
That I agree with.
Anybody opposed to that? Shayna, is that possible?
Yeah, give it to me.
All right, we'll see. All right, I see a couple hands. Member Byfield. Member McLean hasn't been heard yet, and Member Kiyasi. McLean, you're first. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody. I was just going to propose, because this has been such a reoccurring issue, that maybe if Shayna has the capacity, she'd be able to review it before the May meeting, propose any suggestions beforehand so that by the time we do meet in May, we're able to discuss any of the amendments that are being proposed. And then by that time, we'll either be able to pass it as is or pass it with the amendments that she's proposed.
All right, we're kind of loosey-goosey with motions here, so... And that's my fault. I've been trying to skirt what really should be happening. All right. So the motion on the floor, all right, is that the current grievance policy, and Ellen, hold me to this, that the current grievance policy be reviewed and submitted to this body, or be reviewed by the general manager.
Yeah.
And submitted to this body
prior to, maybe, I don't know, one week prior to, something like that.
We'll give it. So 1 week prior to the May full board meeting.
With any proposed amendments or acceptance, and whatever formal ending ends a motion in the perfect Robert rule that I don't really know.
I think that's okay.
Okay.
Ellen, did you get any of that?
As you were talking, I'm writing it. And then I'm.
All right, let me try again.
Okay.
That this
general manager.
The motion is for the current grievance policy to be reviewed by the general manager and submitted to the secretary of the board 1 week prior to the May board meeting with any amendments to the document or to the policy, or with full acceptance of the policy as written.
Can I also know, we have two documents. So it's the Bill of Rights, and then I think we have a grievance document. So we want to specify and make sure. Is it both? Is it just the Bill of Rights?
Member Byfield, which one is it? Are you more concerned?
Go ahead.
Are you concerned about, you've been saying grievance, so I think that's the one you're talking about, right?
Yes. We already voted. We already put the document together, voted on it, put it together, and also submitted how it would be rolled out.
Yeah. No. We got that.
When you say document, you can't say the document. There's two. And we're asking you for which one.
Hold on. I got you. Remember, we're getting there. All right. So do you want our general manager to review the grievance policy and give us feedback? Do you want her to review the Bill of Rights, give us feedback? Or do we want to review the Bill of Rights and the grievance policy with feedback?
No. However, any general manager will probably take it upon themselves to do that. But no, what I would like her to know is that this exists at another Pacifica station.
Okay, hold on. For going on 19 years.
Hold on,
we're trying to get you there. I understand. Okay. There's a lot of other politics involved. I really do, but we're just trying to get us in this house to a point where we're going to be satisfied with the outcome. I know not all of us will be. All right. I understand that, but at least give us.
Okay. It would just be the process, not the programmer's Bill of Rights.
Okay. All right. So to the question from Member McLean, it's just the grievance. Ellen, it's just a grievance. Everybody else, it's just a grievance policy.
I got that.
All right. Member Kiyasi and then Member Lane, and quickly, we're at time certain. We need 5 minutes to finish this.
So moved.
Okay.
Quickly, Member Kiyasi.
I'm confused because I thought the issue was that the WPFW LSB would present the grievance procedure that we have to the National Pacifica Board, because I thought the understanding was that there was no grievance procedure at the Pacifica level. And we were going to suggest to Pacifica that the grievance procedure that we have should be implemented for all of Pacifica. Now, am I misled that that was the issue?
No. That's a separate, that's actually a separate issue. We were there, about a year ago, mid 2025 with that discussion, and you are correct. That's what we were doing then. But to remember Byfield's point, it's been a year and nothing has moved. And so we're trying to make sure that, at least locally, we have this in place and that we're practicing it for, the station locally. But so you're not confused. You're, that was another issue. Yeah. All right. Remember Lane, a lot of bites at the apple.
Yes. First, I agree with Member Kiyasi, but that being said, can someone answer if the GM either sees something in the document or has a new suggestion as an amendment, what's going to be our procedure?
Well, that's the point that Member McLean was making, that a week ahead of time, we'll have that and we'll be able to navigate that at the meeting.
Okay.
All right. Everyone understand what the motion is on the floor? We need a second for the motion, though.
Yes, but what if we disagree with what's being proposed?
Well, this is same rules apply. I'm giving you a motion. Someone's got to second it. And then if you disagree.
Second. I'll second it.
Okay. Seconded by Member Diamond. And we do the same thing. We had our discussion. Is there anything else? I see, Shayna, go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify that the motion is to ask me to do stuff, not to compel me to do, or like that I have to do stuff. So just to clarify that you're asking me to review the policy and then, provide amendments a week before so you have time to review it. And then, at the end of it, I get final say regardless of whether or not you guys want to amend my amendments, just so that we're clear about the difference between management and the board.
Nobody's twisting your arm. Well, that was the whole point we're trying to make here. Yes.
I just want to say, absolutely want a grievance policy. I just want it done with a lot of love and care. So.
It's a request. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No question. Did you get that, Ellen, as opposed to me or us saying you have to?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're requesting that the general manager review it and get back to us. Okay. We have a second from Member Diamond. No other discussion. Any opposition? All right. Hearing none, motion carries. We'll have that to you tomorrow. I'm not going to promise it tonight, Shayna. So you'll have your, review time. All right. All right. New business. I'm going to start in reverse order just because, Member Pinkney call me about this. Member Pinkney, do you want to talk about your in-person meeting request? You're on mute.
You're on mute.
No, I see she's working the keys there. All right. He wants to come back to you? We'll come back to you. All right. Remember, Tingley Clemens, your hand is up.
Chairman, Kamau, you had promised to put on the new business. I forgot how you framed it, but it was a request that we look again at the policy of how to contact, sharing contact information with the LSB. It's in response to my request about having ways to contact the LSB, and I didn't understand why we were denied opportunity for access. I understood that there were some challenges in the past, but it still means that some of us still don't know people on this LSB. We don't have any way of contacting except in the meeting, on the chat, or coming out and speaking. And is there any way that we can discuss that? And I don't see it on that part of the agenda.
That's my apologies. I did not, you got me, earlier in the month, and I did not get that on there. The question for you all, and I'll just ask that you send it to Ellen. Member Tina Simmons is asking for is a contact list for our members. What I'm thinking that would be is a list, your name, your email address, and a phone number you'd like to share that folks can contact you with. You can send that to Ellen. Ellen will compile the list, and we can share that list with our membership. All right?
Thank you.
I'm not saying you have to do it, but it would be helpful for Ellen, really, and everybody else if we had a contact list in full. Okay, so please send that to Ellen right away, a good email address, which I think most of us have, but just send it again, and then a good phone number as well. Member Pinckney, are you ready?
Yes.
If you want an in-person meeting, go ahead and motivate.
Yes, I just, as a still a fairly new member, I find it, what's the word, maybe disconcerting, that I see a lot of names on the screen, have no idea who they are. Sometimes the human being is there, which makes me wonder, well, why can't we see you? What's going on? So my request / suggestion to Kamau was that we periodically meet in person, because my understanding is that the 100% Zoom was the result of COVID, which is, knock on wood, behind us. And I feel like if I met people in person sometimes, I just have a better sense of who's who and what's what. And I'll just leave it there. I think I've been clear. If anybody has any questions, they can ask me. And that could be, I'm not suggesting that be necessarily every meeting, but periodically, and I'd also like to hear from people why we don't see them.
Okay, so a couple of things there. Do you want it once a quarter? Is that your suggestion? Maybe once every quarter we have an in-person meeting? What are you offering, mm-hmm. proposing?
I'm open. I know I said to you in my email or text, whatever it was, that now that the weather has broken, I particularly when there's bad weather, I can see why it's not only easier, but maybe even advantageous to meet on Zoom. But when we have good weather, I'm wondering why we don't at least every other meeting, if not, you know, some number of meetings. I don't know. I don't have not thought through and do not have at my fingertips the details of the proposal. My proposal is just that we meet in person on some sort of regular, which doesn't mean every meeting, but regular formatted basis.
I want you to be comfortable with what you're saying. So I heard you say every other month. So let's say we're in April, right? So that's an even month. Do you want to do every even month?
Not necessarily. I think it also, maybe we decide for the next 6 months or something, because it can also have to do with holidays and vacations. And as I said, I have a skeleton proposal. I have no real formalized meat to put on those bones. I wanted to raise the idea, and then not tonight, but soon, folks have a chance to think about it, awesome. Talk about it, write you about it, whatever. I don't think we can flesh it out this evening.
All right. So no, that's fair. So your request is that this body consider in-person meetings in some particular interval for the remainder of this year. All right. So.
And forevermore.
That's good. And forevermore. Anybody have, something they'd like to, anybody have any, discussion on that?
Yes, I do.
All right. Member Byfield and then Member Lane in that order.
First, Jeanette, I want to commend you for bringing that, subject to light.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, prior to the pandemic, we used to meet in person.
Every meeting.
And after the pandemic.
Every meeting.
I beg your pardon?
Every meeting was in person?
Yeah.
Every meeting.
One at a time. Yeah. Let's just go ahead. Bye, Phil.
Yeah, prior to the pandemic, we used to meet every meeting. It was in person. And the pandemic changed all of that. Now, I had made that request when Dennis Williams was the chair, and he graciously had us meet at, I think it was MLK Library, and I certainly commend him for his efforts on that. I want to add, based on the landscape that we're currently, or the environment that we're in right now, that I want to propose that we do it every season or every 3 months, so we would have 4 a year, and we have the technology to integrate it, because the people who can't make it will still be in the meeting on Zoom. So that would be my addition to, or recommendation to what you're proposing.
Thank you.
Member Lane.
Yes, if you're talking about a hybrid meeting, then I can do that. If it's in person, that's very difficult for me. I'm still wheelchair bound. And so my travel and everything else, I have to consider. I have to have an aide to be able to push me. I mean, these are real issues for me. So unless you're committing to it being a hybrid meeting, and then you all know that when it's a hybrid meeting, the people that are online, you hardly interact with. So, you know, I'm not so sure. But I know that I would miss meetings if we did that.
Okay. Member Tingling Clemens and then Member McLean. Michelle.
Okay, am I unmuted?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I actually support the idea of being able to meet in person. I mean, at one point I would have suggested more often than now that I have more physical challenges in terms of getting to meetings. So I would say that I would encourage us to do it, and we can, if we find a need to scale it up, we could do that, but we could start with doing it quarterly, once a quarter. And I would have a struggle to make sure that we did them, as hybrid meetings so that we can have maximum participation. But I do think that it is a real important need for us to be able to communicate face to face. There's a real important need for us to be able to socialize, because that's how we build relationships.
Yep.
And I know that this whole ultimate reliance on technology and Zoom meetings. I mean, I remember when it was a new thing and it was kind of interesting, but now it's more than that. It's a way of distancing us, keeping us distant from each other at a time when we really need to find ways to be closer to each other. So I would really encourage us to consider doing this, as I said, at least start with quarterly. And then if we find that it's too difficult to manage, or if there's a way that we can make it facilitate it, then we do that. But I think that I don't want us to do what the government does and say, oh, we got some new tool. Let's just drop everything that we were doing and put everything on the new tool. And that's the only one we'll do. No, that's stupid. We've already learned from history that that doesn't work. So I'd say, let's look at doing it as a hybrid and let's do it, scale it up.
Right. Thank you. Member McLean.
Yeah, one thing, Jeanette, I was going to say too was when I first started, one of the things that kind of, I don't know, scratched that itch. I don't know the idiom, but, helped me out was, coming to a town hall meeting for the first time and meeting people. I don't know if you've been to town halls yet. But that really for me felt like my first in-person meeting and I got to know a lot of people. Another consideration too is, you know, being part of the outreach committee, one of the things I feel like we've been really talking about is the board attendance at our events that we have, and we're looking to scale up events as well. So I think it would be important to also consider whether or not adding additional in-person meetings would discourage or either encourage folks to start attending a lot of those meetings. I don't want it to be burdensome, but we also really want people to start coming out to town halls, to all these other events that outreach committee is, you know, working on too. So just another consideration.
Thank you. Member Nyawi.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry about the delay. Yeah, Amaria has verbalized some of my thoughts. One was, well, let me say that the one meeting that we did have in person that Dennis organized, I truly enjoyed. However, it is kind of difficult if you don't live in the city, to, you know, it's just very time consuming, really, getting back and forth. And I think most of the meetings would be in the city. But I did enjoy it. It was nice seeing people in person, and it's much better to interact face to face. However, as Mariah mentioned, there are town hall meetings that are held, and that's an opportunity to speak with people and meet people face to face. Kamau at our last meeting also suggested that we attend an outreach committee meeting at least 4 times a year. And so that's an opportunity to get to know people. It would not necessarily be face to face, but it's an opportunity to get to know members of the board, maybe a little more quote unquote intimately. And then another suggestion by Kamau that was made at the last meeting is that when we do have our meetings, that we keep our cameras on. And so, you know, we could relate to a face instead of, you know, just a phone number or something like that. And that would be another way at least to know what people look like. But, there was a problem with a in-person meeting with doing it, you know, having it both, virtual and in person. It was very difficult to negotiate that. So I don't know, that's an obstacle that we'd have to try to get around.
Can you tell me what the obstacle was?
It seemed like that we couldn't really, I think somebody mentioned it, maybe Ambrose mentioned that you really couldn't incorporate the people who were not on site, that it was very difficult to interact with them. Yeah. So it really was, you know, a meeting of the people who were there in person.
We're about 12 minutes on this, new business. We got one more item. Member Verna Avery Brown.
Yes. It's an idea that I wholeheartedly endorse. But I would definitely want it to be a hybrid meeting that we're suggesting so that people that are challenged to get there. And I'm not so sure. I think the engineering problems, the technical problems can be worked out. We have had some hybrid meetings where, you know, people on Zoom are able to interact just as much as, people in the room. So I'm not sure I have witnessed or participated in any situations where it was different. The other thing I want to suggest is that hopefully we can have these meetings at Eckington Place. There is a room that would certainly accommodate all of us, and they have parking. So it would make it a lot easier for those that do want to and are able to come out. And of course, many of you know the Eckington Place, you can get to it by metro. So that would perhaps include, I don't know how the community comment would be
included in that. But that's something we need to consider. But I think we should definitely figure out a way to do this. And I am in support of the quarterly meetings. I don't think it has to be every other month or anything like that. But I think quarterly would at least be good. Thank you.
Excuse me. Is that you think place where Sirius is? Is that the building you is that what the building
it's
is called?
Studio. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Member Hewitt, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just will add that pre-pandemic, Ellen was really good at reserving spots in the various libraries around town, which also meant that, you know, sometimes we moved around a little bit and so people got to go to different neighborhoods and, you know, sometimes it was more convenient for a subset, you know, but everybody got a chance for it to be more convenient for them, I suppose, unless if there are folks who live way far away, like I believe Bill Curtis lives in Baltimore, for example. But I do think if we're going to do hybrid meetings, we should be 100% certain that we've got the technology nailed, you know, as to how to have the, you know, the online folks be able to be as active in the meeting as the folks in the room. That's really super important. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. I think in keeping with Member Pinckney's request, we have a bit of a framework for us to consider. Quarterly, it sounds like, with a hybrid functionality that's solid and a possible rotation of locations, but we'll figure that out. So I'll ask all of us to think about that and, not necessarily ask you to make the commitment tonight, but think about it. And then we'll, at our May meeting, determine the next month that we'll meet in person if that's the way you want to go. And then, you know, we'll be, myself, Robert, Ellen, we'll work out all the logistics on our end. I may ask our chief engineer to assist as well, just to make sure we have enough, of the tech lined up. So, is that where we're thinking about going? Is anybody, I see a couple hands. Member Byfield, is that a legacy hand? Yeah. Member Nyawi, is that a legacy hand or are you? And Member Hewitt, your hand is legacy. All right. Member Pinckney, you're up.
I have, I guess, no real objection to quarterly, but I would like us to think about whether, for example, it might make sense to meet on Zoom during the winter months when they're more likely to be weather problems. I wouldn't want us to be wed to, I'm very much in favor, of course, of hybrid. To me, that was just a given. I didn't even say it because why would we not do, you know, do both? But it's, maybe it's quarterly. Maybe it's not.
I'm asking that our membership give a consideration, come back here next month and we'll have that, whatever decision we make going forward locked in. All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Fair enough. Town hall preparation, and then we'll try to make our way out of here. June 13th, as you heard from the outreach committee, is the town hall. There's some very detailed requirements. You'll see them in the executive director's report that are required for these type of meetings. The outreach committee, Member Diamond, will have to consider all of these elements and make sure we've got them all satisfied before we roll out any announcement of the actual town hall, okay? I think we've pretty much, we're pretty good at organizing it. I think we just need to get it on paper, make sure that the executive director has reviewed it and signs off, all right? But there is a pretty, look at that ED report. There's some pretty significant 3 or 4 pages in length of what is needed, to make sure these events happen. All right. But with that said, I want everybody to try and, you know, put that date aside, the 13th of June, 3 hours in that day. So maybe an hour ahead, an hour after. So about a 5 hour block of time on that Saturday to commit to a town hall where we can interact with our membership, give them some feedback, let them see how we are as their elected representatives, what we're doing, to ensure that this station is vibrant and is thriving going forward. All right. So really, lock in that date, really consider, that block of time so that you can be present on that day. And that's really the prep I wanted to get out, here tonight, is to make sure that we, mark that date, and then B, that our committee, member Diamond has all of those elements satisfied. And then we start to roll the PSA out. So we may have to do an interim meeting. I'm not saying what you have to do, but it may have to require an interim meeting so that we don't lose time, you know, going month to month, because it's around the corner when you look at the date. All right. Any questions with that? Yeah, Member Pinckney, you got something?
It's not a question. I just wanted to say, a couple of people mentioned my attending town halls. I attended the last town hall. I didn't know the people who were on the board. So many people, even with the hybrid component, don't show their face. So I'd like to encourage that people also, if they're going to be in the meeting, be in the meeting.
Yeah. No. I totally get it. It's hard on these Zoom things. And I know people are multitasking sometimes. So, but I do wish that everybody who's a board member, not the community per se, but definitely if you're on the board, you should be able to be present, as we meet. Member Diamond and then Member Highland.
Okay, I just had two things, and I will try next time to be on camera, but I do work. We have a 4 o'clock development meeting. I do need dinner, and I don't want to eat in everybody's face. I have a little thing about that, but, you know, I'll try next week, next month. But the question that I had, too, was, Kamau, you talked about summarizing a report. Was that the one on the qualifications for the town hall meeting, or was that something else? That was earlier in the meeting. Were you talking about Shayna's report?
That's the summary. Myself, Member Gordon, and Secretary Carter are going to work on summarizing what our general manager has and envisioned for the board, and we'll roll that out to everybody. We'll work with the general manager as well, but we're, you all don't have to do it like that. That's not an outreach function right now.
Thank you.
Okay. Member Highland.
Hey, do we still want to do the union component to the town hall meeting? Because if we do, Chris Garlock's waiting to chat. So we need to find some time.
Yeah, no, I have to respond to you on that. So give me, tomorrow to get back to both of you, because that has to be an element. I think, to somebody's point in the community earlier said, you know, that's going to be that preparation and building in that network and that defense mechanism for the station going forward. We'll need that. So yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I'll get back to you.
Cool. Thanks.
All right. Member Lane, and then. Try to put a bow on this.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes I don't want people to see my house. Sometimes I have a young son and family swirling around me. My picture's always up. You see my face. I don't need to feel as though I need to come on live. And then when there are boring subjects, I don't want y'all to see me nod my head. And then I have bad hair days. So I'm just saying, my picture's up there. I don't feel as though I need to be live. I am live.
I can't imagine this is boring, but that's fine. And then, it's a request, not a requirement. I mean, we're all volunteers here and, we're all adults. And I think that it would show just a little bit of regard, like I said, maybe for our community, that all of us are engaged with one another in a way that's, a little more communal and harmonious than maybe, just a blank screen is. And I appreciate your picture, bro. Thank you. It's always very nice to see family. Member Hunter.
Yeah, greetings to the new GM. She put in the chat that she'd love to host a coffee tea social. Nobody's responded to that. I just want to make that everybody a prize.
Oh. I didn't see that. I'm sorry, I can't monitor the chat all the time. That'd be great. Is that something, well, we can talk more about that, but yeah, no, we would definitely, if you want to host that, let's do it. Can you, we'll talk. We'll talk offline. All right. That'd be great. Member Byfield.
Hello. Yes, I wanted to add, there was a member who we wanted to try to bring onto our board. And when I had a conversation with her, one of the most important things she said to me was community was very important to her. And that as a member and as a listener, she saw a lot of that in WPFW. And I came here maybe 17, 18 years ago, I think. And I'll have to say, I find myself, even recently, looking out for folks that I met on the board that are not even, they're not in good health condition right now. But there's a sense of community that one of the great things about WPFW community. So, So I'm saying that in conjunction to what Jeanette is asking in terms of the personal meeting of, you know, by having meetings that way. It's very important, and I really think that that's something we ought to treasure, because what we have is very valuable, especially in these times. We see what's happening. So I just wanted to add that to what she's requesting, okay?
Thank you. We're at time certain, actually a couple minutes over. So, what we have is a request. We're asking, if our general manager, could review the grievance policy. We'll get that copy to her and give us some feedback, hopefully prior to our, May meeting. We've got a, potential interim meeting for outreach, in order to make sure we're aligned with the requirements on the town hall. We also are, keep me straight, Ellen. What else do we have? Each of us asked to think about what the in-person meeting rhythm and cadence looks like. All right. So we want to make sure we have an idea about what we want to do, and we'll make that decision in May. And you said something, Ellen, what else we got?
I think you have everything. Yeah.
Okay.
You've gotten everything. Yep.
All right. Oh, and then we'll wait for the election supervisor to give us some guidance on how each of us will qualify and how each of the folks who are eligible to vote, how all that will be determined. I guess more to come there. And got to connect with Art on and Garlock on the labor piece. Anything else?
that a voter votes for the opposite party.
Program committee meeting coming up. So those who want to be involved, actually there's a couple things. I'm sorry. Make sure you send your request to Ellen about what committee. There's three committees. Programming, outreach, finance. Each of those meet once a month. So it's a meeting here and then you have one additional one. You have to choose one of those. So choose one of those. If you can't do it, if there's an extenuating circumstance or something, let Ellen know. But the expectation is you fill in or you join one of those committees. All right. I think that's everything.
Michael, please mute. Please mute yourself, Michael.
Oh, is that him? Yeah. And then we'll get some feedback from the chief engineer about testing to see how far our signal goes. That was one of the other issues that we needed feedback on. Anybody have anything else they want to bring forward before we hit the gavel? I thank you all for coming out on a tax day. And I know everyone must be getting a refund for everybody to show up or they're just punting until October. So I do appreciate that. And I did swirl in my mind about, you know, changing the time. I said, I'd probably be more trouble than it's worth. So I do appreciate everybody coming out, tonight and welcome again, Shayna. Really do appreciate your patience with us. And it should be a good experience going forward and looking forward to building strong bonds. All right.
Got a hand up, Kamau.
You got a couple. Okay. Member Vincent, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, is there going to be another announcement of the next program committee meeting by email or something like that? Does that usually happen or?
Where is Member Hirsch? You need to,
just came up in the chat.
Yeah, but I think what she's asking for, and I do appreciate that, is if we could send an email reminder. So there's a listserv. You all know the address. You can send it to one email address. All of us will get that same email, just letting the membership know. And I'll ask that of all our committee chairs. You can send and copy. I know we have standing members, but you can actually copy the full board each time you meet. And then that may attract folk and have them remember that there's a meeting coming up. All right. So that's, Diamond, Chase, and right now the vice chair is Hirsch. All right. So if you all want to make sure you copy in the Google group email that we have, that would be great. All right. Good point. Thank you for that. Member Tingling Clemens. I thought we were ready to go. What's up?
I'm sorry. I went and checked the chat.
Okay.
But it reminded me of something that we passed something about providing the Bill of Rights to new members. Why only to new members or new programmers? Why not to all programmers?
No. I think what our general manager was alluding to was that document would be a good way to acclimate folks coming in as volunteers, that we would have a document that when they come on, you could hand it to them and they would understand, you know, the relationships within the organization. It's not that we wouldn't send it to the current volunteer staff. It's just a way to be more formal about how we onboard those volunteers coming on. All right.
Well, that's fine. I would just suggest that you still share it with current programmers and not assume that everybody has them.
No, we have to. That's the whole point of this exercise, that once this is reviewed by the GM, we then have the okay one way or another, and then that would be rolled out to the full staff. All right?
Oh, okay. Well,
that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, and I like your picture too, Ambrose. That's it.
All right.
He's so pretty.
All right. Appreciate everybody. Anything else? If not, then I'll ask for the magic words.
I resemble that remark.
Second.
Welcome to adjourn.
All right. Any objection? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you all so much.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Rest well. Bye. All right. See ya.
Good night, all.
Good night.